This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. Britain has scrapped plans for Queen Elizabeth II and George W. Bush to take part in a London parade next month because of fears of angry protests over the war in Iraq. An unnamed official was quoted as saying that detailed plans had been made for the procession, but Downing Street, anxious about possible anti-war protests from the start, has now decided to pull the plug on it. Downing Street was working with Bush's staff on the state visit and indicated the White House made no attempt to hide their disappointment. Instead, Bush will travel by helicopter to avoid perhaps hundreds of thousands of protesters on the road routes and will not address Parliament because of fears of a boycott or even a walkout by some lawmakers. Assailants ambushed a U.S. Army foot patrol just outside Fallujah at midday Monday, killing one American and wounding five others in the second day of attacks in this anti-U.S. hotbed west of Baghdad. The patrol from the 82nd Airborne Division was first hit by an exploding homemade bomb and then by small arms fire, the military said. It was one of 43 attacks on Americans all over Iraq on Monday. One soldier killed Monday marked the 339th American to die in Iraq, the 218th to perish in combat. Since May 1st, when President Bush declared an end to combat, 104 U.S. soldiers have been killed by hostile action and many thousands injured. Since the Vietnam era, presidents have worried that their military actions would lose support once the public glimpsed the remains of U.S. soldiers arriving at air bases in flag-draped caskets. The Bush administration has found a simple solution to the problem. It has banned news coverage and photography of dead soldiers' homecomings on all military bases. A March directive from the Pentagon blacked out media coverage of deceased military personnel at the major ports of the returning remains. A White House spokesman said that Bush has not attended any memorials or funerals for soldiers killed in action during his presidency, as his predecessors had done. More IE American Network news after this.
I'm Don Henley. 2003 marks the centennial anniversary of the National Wildlife Refuge System. Today, more than 530 refuges conserve some 90 million acres throughout the country. With a refuge in each and every state, and many within short drives of major cities, it's easy to see what the National Wildlife Refuge System is all about. Help us celebrate this truly outstanding legacy. Visit your local refuge.
An Australian woman gave birth to an 8-pound baby boy only 3 hours after learning she was pregnant. Complaining of indigestion, Carolyn Hounsell checked into a hospital where an ultrasound confirmed the baby had been gestating for 9 months and her pains were labor contractions. For IE American Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Hey, Sneezy, go to sleep.
I can't.
You could if you take NyQuil. It'll help your symptoms. So you'll sleep great. You know, like you do when you cuddle on the couch with a warm fleece blanket, a cozy fire, and a chick flick.
Now that's my kind of sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Give me that.
NyQuil. The nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stubby head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved Liquicaps.
Ha! John Ashcroft sure showed his critics, didn't he? Those carping librarians and squishy soft civil libertarians who've been alarming the public about the USA Patriot Act got their official comeuppance from Big Bad John. Critics have warned that this act allows federal agents to sweep into any library in America and demand the records of any and all library patrons, forbidding the librarians from even telling the patrons that their records have been ransacked. Ashcroft had previously refused to disclose how many times this power has been used, but growing public opposition has now prompted him to release this classified information. He gloatingly declared that the number of times is zero. Take that, you terrorist-hugging civil liberty softies! Ashcroft said that he hopes this information will stop the librarians from generating any more hysteria. But the gleam of John's gloat faded when the obvious follow-up question was asked. If this invasive authority has been deemed useless by those pursuing September 11th terrorists, why should it stay on the books? It was truly hysterical to hear Ashcroft's PR flack respond lamely that, well, while we haven't busted any library patrons so far, we might do so any day now. Exactly. Oh, says Ashcroft, don't worry, because we're only using this Patriot Act to chase terrorists, so you can trust us not to go after your library records. Hello? If the founders thought we could trust authority, they wouldn't have bothered with the Bill of Rights. Ashcroft's Patriot Act does not limit use of its liberty-busting police powers to terrorists, and his PR flack has since admitted that the feds already are using the Act's numerous provisions for garden-variety investigations of Americans who have nothing to do with terrorism. This is Jim Hightower saying, to stop Ashcroft's autocrats, call the Bill of Rights Defense Committee, 413-582-0110.
I would like to see a law that says you, your organs automatically get donated unless you say no.
All right, Richie, have you got an organ donor specification?
No.
Why?
Because I don't want them taking me before I'm dead.
In Richie's case, what good would most of those organs be?
Certainly won't be going for his brain. Or they might, because it's never been used.
You might as well be dead. Your brain is, so why not the rest of you?
On the IE America Radio Network. Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
When you're swallowing all life's lies,
here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Good evening, truth seekers. Mike Malloy here on Resistance Radio. Thank you very much for joining us this evening. As always, a program produced by Catherine Bay. Announced by Robin Bittman. The phone number here is 800-TALK-YES, 800-825-5937. And you can email during the program, mikedmalloy@earthlink.net. We have not mentioned this to a great extent, but you're aware that this Saturday in Washington, D.C. and in San Francisco, peace marches are and rallies are planned. According to the Washington Post, protesters from more than 135 cities and 38 states are expected to converge on D.C. this Saturday. The there will be a coincidental rally and march in downtown San Francisco the same day. Now, this is a first event of its kind that's co-sponsored by two major anti-war coalitions, International Answer, which put together the first protest marches before Bush's psychopathic war against Iraq began, and United for Peace and Justice. Now, both these organizations have coordinated some of the country's biggest peace marches this year. I'm sure you know that. As kind of a sidebar to this, International Answer held a national conference in New York in May. Some of you may have attended that. I think we talked about it on this program. More than 850 activists attended that, and United for Peace and Justice had a strategy session in suburban Chicago a month later that attracted more than 550 activists. We're not going to be able to go, are we, Kathy? Damn. If you are planning on going, good for you. I wish we could be there. Oh, by the way, the D.C. chapter of Free Republic, don't laugh, is holding a counter demonstration, 11 a.m. at the west front of the Capitol near the reflecting pool. About 1,000 people are expected. Well, when we went to the first, did we go to the first big anti-war, or was it the second, Kathy? It was a huge. How many people were there? Was that last October? It was like 300,000 people. It's just stunning. That's when we marched with a lot of people from Democratic Underground, a lot of people from, our Boston Bureau Chief, Matthew, was there, Matt Com, Will Rivers Pitt, Ben was there. We met Ben and his wife, Katie. Who else? Just a whole bunch of people. Oh, my God. Got rowdy as hell the nights in the hotel, didn't we? Nothing like a bunch of peace activists getting together who are charged up, pissed off, and having a bit of the bubbly. Well, it wasn't bubbly. What do we have? Scotch? Coke? Pizzas? Salad? All of that stuff. I hope you're going to attend, if you cannot, like we cannot. I'm sure there will be satellite demonstrations around the country. Here in Atlanta, well, we might be able to get... And no nastiness here directed at Atlanta organizers, but we might be able to get 50, 75 people together here, right? A couple hundred, do you think? I think most people who would attend a demonstration here in Atlanta are going to try to make it to D.C. It's supposed to be beautiful weather, gorgeous weather. We'll post some information at our website. And you can get all this at the Answers website, International Answers website. So check it out. Rummy speaks a little bit later in the program tonight. We have some sound for you from Too Stupid to Be Defense Secretary. This guy is really, really losing it. I wonder how long it'll be before he joins Rush in rehab. He is on something. This guy is on, I don't know. I don't know what he takes. But he takes something. We'll have him on talking about. Well, no, it's Peter Pace showed up today at the press conference. He's the Marine Corps. Drawing a blank here. I know he's one of the Joint Chiefs. He was asked a question about all these guys, soldiers, men or women who are on furlough, and bunches of them are not going back. Also. We're kind of falling into this, aren't we, Kathy, where we ask a specific question and then expect our listeners to phone in and with an answer or a comment. I don't care for that format in talk radio, but we've done it a couple of times in the past week. And tonight we have another one. This is regarding the Jeb Bush, the thief who sits in Tallahassee in Florida, the governor there. Did he make the right decision in the case of the woman who is essentially brain dead in vegetative state, Terry Schiavo? The Florida legislature rushed through a bill that requires the reinsertion of her feeding tube, and Jeb Bush signed it. So... here we go again. A couple of quick emails. Our Arkansas Bureau Chief, Joyce, emails in, "Hi, Mike. Apparently one of today's talking points dispersed to Republicans by Karl Rove and his rabid rogues was to discuss which of the 9 Democratic candidates they feared most in the 2004 election. Following orders, Republican operatives told the media that they feared Gephardt over the other 8. Joyce writes, "To me, in their doublespeak, this indicates that Gephardt is the candidate they'd most like to run against and by trickery raise his poll standings to accomplish that goal. These evil devils make me sick." Yes, Joyce, they do me too. Interesting essay at truthout.org by my good friend Will Pitt, "Anybody But Bush." And Will pretty much states it categorically, his deep and abiding hatred, that's one thing that Will and I share, as you may also, for George Bush. And Will pretty much lays it out. He will vote for a bologna sandwich if it's somebody who can get rid of the Bush crime family. I'm drifting towards that. I continue to support Kucinich with Howard Dean as a good second, a backup for me, followed by possibly Kerry, maybe Clark. I honestly don't believe that Lieberman, the one I really dislike, out of all eight or nine, how many now, nine candidates, Lieberman is, I don't know how I would do that. I guess that's where the bologna sandwich thing kicks in. And regarding the what we were talking about last night, towards the end of the program, about the investigation or the request for an investigation into what appears to be a fairly major series of atrocities that occurred in Vietnam during that horrendous war. The Toledo Blade newspaper conducted an eight-month investigation in both the United States and Vietnam and came up with some horrible, horrible stories to tell about atrocities that were committed by our guys against Vietnamese civilians. You have to have a strong stomach to read it. I don't know how colorful your mind is when you read descriptions of atrocities. My mind goes crazy. I guess it was too many drugs all those years ago. But when I start reading something about atrocities, heads being lopped off and babies suffocated and bayoneted, the images pop up fairly clearly. We talked about that, and the question was whether or not there should be an investigation of this, and I think the conclusion that I've come to is, I don't know. How's that for a weaselly way out? But here's just two emails from Witt. Witt emails in, Mike, just listening to the rest of last night's show and had a quick thought about whether we should investigate what happened 30 years ago. I say yes, but not because we should hold people accountable for what happened then. Maybe we can find a way to keep it from happening again. We've already heard little bits and pieces of this type of thing happening in Iraq now, so it would be a good time to tell commanders that they will be held accountable for abuses. From Witt. Interesting that Witt would say not to hold the commanders from 30, 35 years ago accountable. And I mean, interesting. I'm not disparaging one way or the other. But Jim, our Arkansas Music Bureau Chief and Vietnam vet, writes in, Mike, here's my thought on this Vietnam investigation. All of it was planned by well-fed hypocrites who have had lots of sleep and knew what and why the atrocities were being committed. But it was carried out by kids who were scared, sleepy, had their brains so screwed up that they... That even sitting in a quiet place with no outside noise, all you heard was a constant roar and pounding in your brain. And fear, fear, fear. Who do you think this will eventually be blamed on? Dragging people's nightmares out and having to live them again is unacceptable. Too much pain to prove what everyone already knows. I may be wrong about this, but we have to let this pass. Jim. Yeah. I guess, both Jim and Witt on last night's topic about the atrocities. The wasn't the entire war an atrocity against a people that had absolutely no desire to threaten the United States? They threw out the Chinese, they threw out the French, the Japanese, they threw out the French, and they threw us out. What the hell were we doing there? From an article at MSNBC.com, Martha Brandt writing in a piece called Killed in Action, she says, death announcements are arriving almost daily for American soldiers killed in Iraq. It's hard to put a weekly average on the number of dead because some weeks there are no casualties reported, but by my unofficial tally, somewhere between 3 and 6 soldiers die every week in Iraq, American soldiers. And yet it often feels like the American public has no sense of the steady trickle of killed and wounded. There are no images of flag-draped coffins in this war to remind people of the human price being paid. That's because the media are prohibited from filming or photographing soldiers' remains being sent home. Would the media give more coverage to U.S. fatalities in Iraq if we were allowed to see the flag-draped coffins coming home? Now, there's very interesting article by Dana Milbank in the Washington Post today about that very topic. And I want to touch on some of the high points of it when we come back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. Not by our mouths will we let fear silence us, not by our hearts.
countries to be deemed evil. Not by our will and not in our name.
Excuse me, ma'am.
Yeah?
Have you bought your Halloween candy yet?
Not yet.
Well, I've got the best candy idea for you to give away on Halloween.
Really?
Juicy gummies.
Juicy gummies?
That's right. Juicy gummies are the first gummies made with real fruit juices. They're fat-free and they are so good.
Mmm.
You have to try them all. The peach rings, froggies, creepies, and much, much more. They're all delicious.
Yeah, they are.
Juicy gummies come in playful packages, fun shapes and colors. All the kids will be at your door when the word gets out that you're giving away juicy gummies on Halloween.
Mmm.
Juicy gummies come in 30 and 50-pack bags, so there's plenty of candy for the whole neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And did I mention that these gummy candies are actually made with real fruit juices and fat-free?
Wow.
So if you haven't bought your candy for Halloween, rush on out to Walmart, Kmart, Eckerd's, Dollar General, 7-Eleven, Fred's, Kerr Drugs, Brooks Pharmacy, and many other stores nationwide. Sorry, ma'am, you can't eat all of our samples. Well, this store here sells juicy gummies.
Ooh, thanks.
Look for Juicy Gummies, America's first gummy made with real fruit juices. Boy, they're delicious.
If you've got a clogged up nose, Simply Stuffy. If you've got a snuffly nose, Simply Stuffy. If the rest of you feels fine, but your nose is out of line, give your schnozzle what it needs, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy, from the makers of Children's Tylenol. It has only the medicine your child needs to make a stuffy nose simply disappear.
If you want to smell a rose, get the stuff out of your nose. If you take a feeling snotty, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy, use as directed.
Get the good stuff.
Right now would be a good time to come to Napa Auto Parts, because you can get halogen headlights starting at just $4.99 after a $1 mail-in rebate. Remember, nothing lights up the road like halogen. And like everything Napa sells, our halogen headlights are manufactured to the highest industry standards. This is the good stuff. So come into Napa and get halogen headlights starting at just $4.99 after a $1 mail-in rebate.
Get the good stuff.
Napa. Get the good stuff.
Show.
Bruce Willis was in Iraq. Did you hear about this? He went to Telefar, I believe is the way you pronounce it. And he has a band, Accelerator, played some rock and roll, and, you know, there were hundreds of U.S. soldiers there. Anyway, after he did his rock and roll, he took the microphone. He said, we're here to support you, and that's fine. Okay. But then he offered the soldiers listening $1 million out of his own pocket for the capture of Saddam Hussein. And then he said, and if you catch him, just give me 4 seconds with him. Isn't he just a man's man, huh?
Who are you, then? Just another American who thinks he's John Wayne, Rambo.
He's always kind of partial to Roy Rogers, actually.
Do you really think you have a chance against us, Mr. Cowboy?
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
You know, Jamie, if people don't listen to animal talk, things with their animals won't go well.
Oh, they won't.
No, absolutely not. You see, because a dog will poop in the corner, and then a cat will end up peeing on a pillow. Then you'll have somebody who has an iguana that turns a little red. We don't want red iguanas. We don't want poopy in the corner. We don't want cat pee. If you don't listen to animal talk, you'll have crap everywhere.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Free radio, only with Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour. So, what about the order that we Americans are not to see televised images or newspaper photographs that show our dead young men and women coming back from Bush's oil war? Dana Milbank writing in the Post today. States the obvious at the beginning of his story, and that is that since the end of the Vietnam War, presidents have worried that their military actions against other countries would lose support. When the public gets images of U.S. the remains of U.S. soldiers arriving at air bases in flag-draped coffins, right? You know, that's the best person to write anti-war stuff was Mark Twain. And the prayer that he wrote, the what is it called, Kathy? The War Prayer. We used to have it posted on our website. I think we've read about half of it on the air. It's fairly lengthy. But, you know, the war fever is a hell of a disease. You know, sending our young people off to kill and to die. And it works until we have to see their broken and dead bodies coming back. But anyway, the Bush administration has found a simple solution to the problem that has bedeviled American presidents since the invention of photography. The Bush administration has a simple solution. It has ended the public dissemination of these images by banning news coverage and photography of the dead soldiers' homecomings on all military bases, not just in the United States, but overseas also. Now, here's the deal. In March, on the eve of the Iraq War, a directive arrived from the Pentagon at U.S. military bases. It said in part, quote, "There will be no arrival ceremonies for or media coverage of deceased military personnel returning to or departing from Ramstein, Germany Air Base, or Dover, Delaware Base, and this will include interim stops," end quote. Now, anyone with the sense God gave a gently stewed rhubarb stalk would know why this order has been issued by the Bush crime family. Duh. He's trying to keep the spotlight off the fatalities in Iraq. And that's why this recent push by low-level Republican operatives to talk about the good news. Hey, you know, the media is talking about the bad news. Talk about the good news out of Iraq. Joe Lockhart, who was Clinton's press secretary, one of them, and joined Clinton at several ceremonies for returning remains, said, quote, "This administration manipulates information and takes great care to manage events, and sometimes that goes too far. For them to sit there and make a political decision because this hurts them politically, I'm outraged," end quote. And as you probably know, because we've discussed it, or you have discussed it, it's talked about on various websites, Bush has not attended one, not one, memorial or funeral for any soldier killed in action anywhere on the planet during his presidency. All of his predecessors have done so. His father did. Reagan did. Carter did. Clinton did. What's up with this guy? Is George Bush human? I honestly don't believe he is. Well, by that, I mean he is lacking human qualities. Compassion, understanding, intelligence, curiosity, sense of balance, wisdom. Oh, well. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. Shattered and tossed and torn, too shocking to see.
Too shocking to see. It wasn't all that long ago that we started military operations. We've been there what? How many days? You're counting the days since we've been there, because I'm not.
I have paid my debt. Now won't you leave me in my misery? Trouble. Don't want no fight, and I haven't got a lot of time.
Thieves and high- high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better. He's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
More people might be finding seawater coming out of their sinks. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. People in some places are looking to salt water as a source of fresh water. They're finding that the process of desalination is getting more efficient and less expensive as a source of drinking water. The largest desalination plant in the United States is in Tampa Bay, Florida. It pumps an estimated 25 million gallons of fresh water into the city water system every day. A lot of briny salt water is left over after desalination. Some people were worried that these leftovers would cause problems in Tampa Bay, but Mark Luther says that's not the case. Luther is a marine scientist at the University of South Florida, and he studied water circulation in Tampa Bay. He says the leftovers from the desalination plant are diluted before they're discharged. He says that water has a minimal impact on marine life since most organisms already are accustomed to small shifts in salinity. Luther says desalination plants are likely to become common in cities on the coast.
People tend to congregate in cities in areas where there isn't necessarily a lot of fresh water. Globally, yeah, there's a lot of fresh water. The problem is getting it to where the people live, and that involves significant cost quite often. One of the reasons that desalination facilities are becoming more viable is that the costs of them are going down while the availability and costs of alternative sources of fresh water are going up.
Luther says desalination is becoming more efficient because engineers have designed better filters to separate the water and salt. He says the new filters are durable and they demand less energy to push seawater through them. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Do you dig your dog, but your dog digs your rose bushes?
Does Hole in the Head have your Oscar?
Is your cat doing a Tarzan swing from your drapes?
Is your python pooped?
Do you hate your folks because they spent your college tuition on a European vacation?
Jamie, what does that have to do with animals?
I don't know. I kind of ran out of stuff.
Now, come on, this is a commercial for a major radio network. We should do better.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
I pray a lot for families who've lost a life. I went to Walter Reed, was struck by the braveness of our soldiers, and prayed for them and their families.
Oh, yeah. From those nads in Tiananmen Square. It's coming from a field that this ain't exactly real, or it's real, but it ain't exactly there.
If I said yet tonight how much I hate this guy, I don't mean,
sirens night and day.
I don't mean, Leonard Cohen, I mean, George W. Bush. We will see no media coverage of our dead coming back to the United States. If the Bush crime family had its way, we would get no media reports of the numbers of dead and wounded. As a matter of fact, field commanders in Iraq, so-called coalition field commanders, that would be U.S. field commanders, are now making it almost impossible. They are issuing the orders that they are enforcing, and the Iraqi police now are enforcing, that journalists, photographers, are to stay the hell out of the hospitals in Iraq that would contain American dead and wounded. I disagree with that totally. We should understand what our support of George W. Bush means. I realize that support is washing away slowly but irrevocably, but shouldn't a people understand that when we engage in war, we will have dead young men and now young women coming back? Shouldn't that be a part of it? Or is it all about George W. Bush and his war on terror, which the war in Iraq is anything but? It is a war that is producing terror. Now, I got a couple more emails here from people with an opinion on the Vietnam investigation. And Mark, Roger over in Augusta was our military attaché, and Mark was our associate military attaché, Mark out in Carlisle, Iowa, who is a Vietnam vet. He writes and says, Mike, there has to be an investigation, not for vengeance on those who for whatever reason did those things. Those men live with their nightmares. The view back 30-plus years ago makes things easy for some to say go after the one who committed these acts. It will be anything but easy. The right will have strokes from the screaming, and the left will wring their hands. The rest of us who faced those choices will yet again have to relive them. The commanders still alive should be prosecuted, as well as the ones who pulled the triggers. Do not make this Lieutenant Callie, dying for our sins all over again. It is a matter of personal responsibility. Otherwise, why in the hell did we kill the Nazis for their atrocities? Why do we still prosecute 80-year-old concentration camp guards? Mark in Iowa. That's a good point. Now, I've got, like I said, I have several combat veterans who contribute to this program. Joe out in Texas, Mark in Iowa, Jim, our music bureau chief in Arkansas, Roger, who used to call the program, but is too busy trying to support his family now. Combat veterans who understand to a greater degree than you and I ever will, unless you also served in combat. And as you can see, there's a difference of opinion even among them. Stanley in Santa Fe. Mike, the investigation was turned over to and dismissed by the acting Secretary of Defense in 1975, none other than Donald Rumsfeld. And who is the Pentagon investigator of My Lai? Another atrocity of Vietnam, Colin Powell. I'd say there is a basis for investigation based on the fact that the persons at the top of the investigations in Vietnam are the same persons lying and distorting the truths surrounding the attack on Iraq. Yeah. Calvin is calling from Houston, Texas. Calvin, welcome to the program. Your first time calling, right?
Yes.
Welcome aboard, sir.
Great. How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing fine.
Okay. First, I want to thank you and Kathy for all the great work you're doing. After people have been hurt so bad, I think the whole country's been hurt by that pill-popping Limbaugh and that lying Sean Hannity.
Yeah.
We really need somebody out there telling the other side of the story. I got a bombshell for you. Has anyone called and told you anything about Nasara?
I've heard the term. It's go ahead, explain it.
Here, I'll quickly give it to you. It's the National Economic Security and Reformation Act, and I'm trying to get it verified. Supposedly, it was passed by Congress and signed by Clinton in October the 10th, 2000, right before the fraudulent election. And it's supposed to, I'll give you a quick few bullet points. It's supposed to eliminate the Federal Reserve System, the IRS, put us on the U.S. Treasury Bank System, which is why they are changing the money. You notice how funny the money is coming out now with the new color, rainbow color.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to, the big bombshell about it is when if and when it's passed, it will lead to the resignation of Bush and Cheney. So I really want you to look that up. Can I give you the website for it?
Why don't you email it to me?
Okay.
All right. Just send it to MikeDMalloy@earthlink.net. Let me look it over, and I'll try to bring it up on the program tonight. But it's kind of far afield from what we're talking about right now.
Yeah. I know it's off the subject, but I just basically wanted to,
okay,
to send, ask that you know anything about it and get you to look into it, and maybe you can give us some insight on it.
When you said the word, I have heard it, didn't pay any attention to it. It completely fled from my memory. Send me a link, and I'll check it out.
Okay, and also, I know you're not going to be able to go to, well, you say you and Kathy couldn't go to the March on Washington, but a lot of people are supposed to bring this information out next Saturday, so, you know, hopefully all your listeners will be watching out for it.
Okay.
Hey, great job you guys are doing.
Thank you, Calvin.
All right, go from Texas.
Call us again. Appreciate you checking in. Speaking of that march, also, I got an email from Kevin in New Jersey. Mike, I'm going to be going to the march on D.C. this Saturday for the protest. Anyway, I'm making up a sign that says, for each of us marching, there's more that couldn't make it. Here are the people I'm walking for. And then I'm going to list the names. If you want your names listed, tell me how you would like it. Well, I emailed Kevin back and told him how to do it. That is a great idea. If people who are going to be carrying signs, if you got a little space, yeah, you ought to do that for the folks who couldn't make it. I just feel guilty as hell for not going. Don't you, Kathy? I mean, don't you feel like... I really... When Bush was in the Philippines the other day, we played you. We played some sound for you last night from his speech to the Philippine Congress. I guess it was the Congress. But one of the things that it didn't occur to me yesterday until I read an article in Newsday today. What Bush proves over and over and over and over is that people who don't know history are doomed to repeat it. And if anybody. Anybody in this country doesn't know history is George Bush. Again, he is the most uncurious individual ever to capture the presidency. He's such a dolt. But a lack of curiosity. The Saudis have said they had to educate him. The Russians have had to educate him. The Israelis have attempted. All these the French. I think that's one of the reasons Blair finds him almost like a house pet. Blair loves to dangle facts and figures in history in front of Bush and watch Bush's eyes dart around the room until he finally goes to sleep. But he is so stupid. His speech in the Philippines on Saturday kind of glossed over or ignored the long, bloody history of our intervention in that country. Even while his speech provided a rationale for similarly costly, bloody intervention in Iraq. In the speech, Bush tried to gather the Philippines into his vision for the war on terror. Even as his... Now, keep in mind, Bush has no sense of history. Bush could not tell you the start... And the ending of our involvement in World War II, for example. He, even though his father served in that war. George W. Bush is dumber than a sack full of doorknobs. He's just stupid. But he told his audience, the National Congress, the Philippine National Congress, together our soldiers liberated the Philippines from colonial rule. That's what he said. Now, aside from the fact that that is a bloody lie, it's also a real knee slapper, a real howler. At the time, the United States was the colonial ruler in the Philippines, the time he's talking about. We've talked about this on the program before. The way I got into it was citing Mark Twain as an anti-war writer of the highest order. Twain wrote at a time when you could say things that the media or press in this country now wouldn't dare say. But Twain was a war correspondent, and he went to the Philippines. American arms manufacturers had just invented something called the Gatling gun. And what better place to try it out, the precursor to the machine gun, what better place to try it out than in the Philippines? And Twain reported on first-person accounts, he witnessed them, of U.S. troops herding entire villages into in one instance that Twain wrote about. And if you want to check this out, I've said this before, it's Twain's writings called The Damned Human Race. Herding these villagers into the busted-off cone of a dead volcano, several hundred villagers, while the Gatling guns were set up on the rim, and then they opened fire. Hundreds slaughtered. And this was not a one-time occasion. 200,000 Filipinos were killed. 4,234 Americans died in that war. That was from 1898 to 1903. Now, we got involved because of the Spanish-American War. The phony explosion of a freighter in docked in Havana Harbor. So we declared war on Spain and took over Cuba, kept going, took over some Pacific islands, and got the Philippines from the Spanish. The Spanish were the colonial rulers of the Philippines, and then we were. Now, at the same time, is this getting boring? At the same time in the Philippines, there was a move to national liberation. There were two factions fighting the Spanish. After we defeated the Spanish in the Spanish-American War, we decided to align ourselves with the faction of the Philippine rebels that we thought we could most control. The ones who are willing to be just shift colonial rulers. The United States ruled the Philippines until 1946, for Christ's sake. It was one of our territories until 1946. The last American military base closed in 1992. And George Bush stands there in front of the Philippine National Congress and says, well, together we threw off colonial rulers. How could those people in the Philippine Congress sit there, and this is like Hitler saying to a convocation of Jews, well, together we stopped the Jewish threat. My God. The Filipinos didn't want to see the American flag flying over Manila any more than they wanted to see the Spanish flag. So there was a revolution going on there. We backed and supported and armed the faction that U.S. rulers knew would be most malleable to us when the shooting was over. And the people who were truly seeking independence were butchered. And as always happens in a country like the Philippines, or Vietnam, or Iraq, or Nicaragua, or Cambodia, or El Salvador, as always happens, the civilians were butchered. And we did an awful lot of the butchering. So there stands Bush saying, together, our soldiers liberated the Philippines from colonial rule. Referring to the Spanish-American War, which then shifted the Philippines from control by the Spanish to control by the United States until 1946. How can this man be this stupid? How can his speechwriters be this stupid? So, the question all of this raises, should we look forward to replaying our Philippine experience in Iraq? You know, easy victory going in, tough fighting for a long time thereafter. From 1903 to 1946, what is that, 43 years, that the Philippines were ours, one of our territories. We controlled it. Well, I wonder what Bush would be like if he had any knowledge of history at all. And I also wonder how the Philippine government and all of these delegates sitting there in the Philippine National Congress, how these people could sit there when Bush makes a statement like that and not rise up as a group and rush the stage and say, well, you ignorant son of a bitch, it was you and your country. It was the United States that destroyed our chance for independence. Now, yes, I know. The Filipinos and the Americans were allies against the Japanese in World War II. Douglas MacArthur and I Shall Return and all this other horse crap. But if you go back to the Spanish-American War, if you go back to the attempt by the Philippine people to get their independence at the turn of the last century, you will find the boot of the American oppressor right there. Because the Philippines, I mean, let's face it, was a key to the Far East. And what did that mean? It meant rubber. Huh? Among other things. natural resources. And by God, some other country has it, and we want it, even 100 years ago. We'll take it. But the audacity, the ignorance, the stupidity, the venality of George W. Bush to stand there in front of the Philippine Congress and say, together, our soldiers liberated the Philippines from colonial rule. How disgusting is that? How disgusting is that? Quick break. We'll be right back. I'm sorry. I'm just going on and on tonight, aren't I? Let's talk about the situation in Florida coming back, okay? Terry Schiavo. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
It's cold.
Here, take NyQuil. You'll sleep like a...
Okay, up there.
You'll sleep like
need
a...
Need more tissues?
Sleep like a...
Cover your mouth.
Like you did before your mother moved in.
Oh, so you'll wear that red nightie?
I heard that.
Give me that.
NyQuil. The nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stubby head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold. Medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved liquid caps.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, sildenafil citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long-itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
Look, anything related to my physical well-being, I get a second opinion. And that includes the laxative I use. So when I asked my doctor which one he recommended, he didn't hesitate. Colace Stool Softener Capsules. Then I asked my neighborhood pharmacist. She said the same thing. Colace Capsules. Now that's two people who I believe know what they're talking about, recommending one laxative. Colace Capsules.
For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors and pharmacists, go to ColaceCapsules.com.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glasters, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls.
The Tom Hartman Show, 12 p.m. till 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
The following program is recommended for mature individuals and may contain material unsuitable for morons, cretins, and dishwipes.
Hey, I wanted to say dick dick.
Okay, give me your anaconda. I'll give you my dick dick.
Deal!
Anaconda! Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
Yeah.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune into the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
The following program is recommended for mature individuals and may contain material unsuitable for morons, cretins, and dishwipes.
Hey, I wanted to say dick.
Okay, give me your anaconda. I'll give you my dick.
Deal.
Anaconda. Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
Truth, justice, and the American way with Mike Malloy. Where else?
Say I'm more confused. Yet I look for the light.
Five before the hour. The Terry Schiavo case in Florida is I don't know. It's just weird. It's sad. It's weird. It's ghoulish. It's Night of the Living Dead, and I mean no disrespect by that. But now it's become, of course, these right wing cretins who find it necessary to impose themselves in situations like this. You never find these bastards trying to stop an execution, even though the person being executed might be innocent, as has happened almost so many times, for example, in Illinois, surely in Texas, damn sure here in Georgia. But let there be a situation like this where a family is suffering the tortures of the damned, the husband and the parents and anyone else involved. This woman has been in what the doctors refer to as a permanent vegetative state / coma for, what, 12 years now? And they inject themselves in Florida now to the extent that the Florida legislature rushed through a law earlier today, and Jeb Bush signed it. The law orders a feeding tube reinserted into this brain-damaged woman, Terry Schiavo. The bill was designed, the supporters say, to save the life of Terry Schiavo. Her parents are fighting to keep her, and I have to put quotes around the word, alive. Her husband, Michael, says that he understood his wife better than anyone else, certainly better than the governor of Florida and the state legislature, and knows that in this condition she would rather die. Now, you can, again, no disrespect, you can pay your money and place your bets on this one as to which way to go. What would you do? What would I do? What would you do for your mama? What would you do for your child in a situation like this? But the Senate, the Florida Senate, voted for the legislation 2-1, almost. The House passed it by almost the same margin. Minutes later, Bush signed it into law. After the Senate's vote, a cheer went up from 80 of these right-wingers outside Terry Schiavo's hospice in Pinellas Park, Florida. Can you imagine that? A cheer. Let's talk about this a bit when we come back.
Listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003. my fellow Americans. This is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy show. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy show, just say no.
Who says Mike Malloy is rational and, you know, I mean, whatever.
You want me fired too?
I mean, I hate the guy. And
you hate me? You hate me?
I have something on that says he's a great goof, liberal.
Goof?
Yeah, I just can't believe it.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. Assailants ambushed the U.S. Army foot patrol just outside Fallujah at midday Monday, killing one American and wounding five others in the second day of attacks in this anti-U.S. hotbed west of Baghdad. The patrol from the 82nd Airborne Division was first hit by an exploding homemade bomb and then by small arms fire, the military said. It was one of 43 attacks on Americans all over Iraq on Monday. One soldier killed Monday marked the 339th American to die in Iraq, the 218th to perish in combat. Since May 1st, when President Bush declared an end to combat, 104 U.S. soldiers have been killed by hostile action and many thousands injured. Some citizens are worried about the Bush administration's bid to revamp the nation's overtime rules, which would make some middle-income workers ineligible for overtime pay. Normally, few Republican lawmakers would be quick to distance themselves from President Bush, but with his approval ratings in a free fall since April, the economy in a slump, and large numbers of Americans feeling Bush is putting too much money with virtually no planning into Iraq, to summon the GOP, Mr. Bush's many troubles are becoming a liability. All non-retiring House members, including a third of senators, apparently have their own 2004 re-election campaigns to worry about. Some GOP incumbents are showing an increasing willingness to vote against key White House initiatives. Since the Vietnam era, presidents have worried that their military actions would lose support once the public glimpsed the remains of U.S. soldiers arriving at air bases in flag-draped caskets. The Bush administration has found a simple solution to the problem. It has banned news coverage and photography of dead soldiers' homecomings on all military bases. A March directive from the Pentagon blacked out media coverage of deceased military personnel at the major ports of the returning remains. A White House spokesman said that Bush has not attended any memorials or funerals for soldiers killed in action during his presidency, as his predecessors had done. More IE America Network news after this.
I'm Don Henley. 2003 marks the centennial anniversary of the National Wildlife Refuge System. Today, more than 530 refuges conserve some 90 million acres throughout the country. With a refuge in each and every state, and many within short drives of major cities, it's easy to see what the National Wildlife Refuge System is all about. Help us celebrate this truly outstanding legacy. Visit your local refuge.
A professor at the University of Cincinnati is studying earworms, a term coined to describe unwelcome songs that get stuck in people's heads. Since beginning research in 2000, he has received requests for help from people suffering from recursive loops of songs like The Lion Sleeps Tonight and Who Let the Dogs Out. For IE America Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
You don't want to miss the first pitch of the playoffs for the second year in a row, so you're probably scrambling for dinner. Hey,
think fast. Think eggs, like an omelet with mushrooms, cheese, and tomatoes, or anything else you like. Omelets are delicious, easy to make, and ready in minutes. So, you get to the game on time, see the first pitch, your team sweeps the playoffs, and goes on to win the championship. All thanks to the incredible edible egg. Think fast. Think eggs. For other quick dinner ideas, visit AEB.org, the American Egg Board.
Ah, John Ashcroft sure showed his critics, didn't he? Those carping librarians and squishy soft civil libertarians who've been alarming the public about the USA Patriot Act got their official comeuppance from Big Bad John. Critics have warned that this act allows federal agents to sweep into any library in America and demand the records of any and all library patrons, forbidding the librarians from even telling the patrons that their records have been ransacked. Ashcroft had previously refused to disclose how many times this power has been used, but growing public opposition has now prompted him to release this classified information. He gloatingly declared that the number of times is zero. Take that, you terrorist-hugging civil liberty softies! Ashcroft said that he hopes this information will stop the librarians from generating any more hysteria. But the gleam of John's gloat faded when the obvious follow-up question was asked. If this invasive authority has been deemed useless by those pursuing September 11th terrorists, why should it stay on the books? It was truly hysterical to hear Ashcroft's PR flack respond lamely that, well, while we haven't busted any library patrons so far, we might do so any day now. Exactly. Oh, says Ashcroft, don't worry, because we're only using this Patriot Act to chase terrorists, so you can trust us not to go after your library records. Hello? If the founders thought we could trust authority, they wouldn't have bothered with the Bill of Rights. Ashcroft's Patriot Act does not limit use of its liberty-busting police powers to terrorists, and his PR flack has since admitted that the feds already are using the Act's numerous provisions for garden-variety investigations of Americans who have nothing to do with terrorism. This is Jim Hightower saying, to stop Ashcroft's autocrats, call the Bill of Rights Defense Committee, 413-582-0110.
Hear that? Doug made his confession that he used hair color.
Yeah, as you know. I was expecting to make it the treatise of the last month. Aren't you guys sweet?
I would recommend sticking with one color, however. Each month you'd have
I
want to
see you try the Afro stuff.
Yeah, right. I'm going to do that.
I decided that it is not the color of the hair, but the head that it stuck to that's important.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. So the Florida General Assembly, the Senate and the House, passed legislation. They passed a bill that was designed, the Associated Press says, the bill was designed to save the life of Terry Schiavo. I would say the bill was designed to prolong the condition of Terry Schiavo. The Senate voted 23 to 15 for this specific piece of legislation. Do we do that in this country? Do we pass specific pieces of, I guess we do. And the House passed the final version 73 to 24 minutes later. Bush signed it into law. Now, in the Senate, some supporters of this bill expressed concern about their actions. God, even a Republican, Senate President Jim King, who's a Republican, said, I keep on thinking, what if Terry didn't really want this done at all? May God have mercy on all of us. Bush said, this is a response to a tragic situation. People are responding to cries for help, and I think it's legitimate. Other people who have their head screwed on a little bit more firmly than anyone in the Bush family said that government was stepping in where it had no business being. a Democrat, a senator, a state senator, said, "I do not believe the governor of Florida should be making a decision of life and death rather than the next of kin." Well, not in this case. Governors in every state make life and death decisions if they have a death penalty. They also make life and death decisions when they submit budgets that cuts off funding for people in desperate need of assistance, right? So doctors, court-appointed doctors, and by court-appointed, I assume that that means doctors who do not have an emotional interest for the husband or the parents. The parents want life support to continue, in this case a feeding tube. The husband does not. So a court-appointed doctor, although the AP says plural, doctors, have described Chavo as being in a vegetative state caused when her heart stopped in 1990 from a suspected chemical imbalance, her own body chemistry, not drugs. Some people are saying the attorney, actually not some people, but the attorney who is representing the husband, questioned whether the legislation would be unconstitutional. He said that it is Terry Chavo's right under the Florida Constitution to not be kept alive artificially, and the courts have affirmed that. There was a two-hour debate in the House, Florida House. Several Democrats argued that the Constitution, state Constitution, does not let the legislature give the governor the power to overrule the courts. Another Democrat, a representative, said this bill so oversteps our role, it turns democracy on its head. I don't know. Do you have a comment on this? I know we touched on it the other day, but that was when it appeared that the courts had decided that the feeding tube for this woman could be disconnected. Now, I know there are websites out there with videos that show what they're all over the news the other day that show what appears to be someone maybe in shock, but someone who appears to be animated, alive, responsive. And if you look at those videos, though, I don't know, I'm being weird here, but if you look into the eyes of Ms. Chavo, is there life there? I don't think so. Doctors say there is not life there. It is, it's understood that neurochemical reactive movements can continue for as long as there's food. I guess I don't know. I'm not a doctor. Kathy, you studied a lot of this stuff. Open your microphone for just a second. You're the biology major here. What's your take on this?
I don't know nothing about birth and no babies.
No, that's not what we're talking about.
Oh, sorry. My opinion is that if she didn't have a living will, that the wishes of her husband should be followed, that people can flutter their eyes. The video that I've seen that I keep seeing over and over and over, and not being any kind of a medical expert, Mike, despite your adulations to the contrary, I think those are reactive twitches. Someone stroking her hair and her eyes blink. You know, she's responding randomly with her reptilian brain, you know, with the hippocampus, the midbrain, the part that responds, the ancient part of our brain that responds to stimulus. It's just a stimulus response from my totally non-medical opinion of watching.
Well, you're not non-medical. That's not true. You're practically a nurse. But I love it when you use words like hippocampus. That just
hippocampus.
Hippocampus.
There's a P in it. Hippocampus.
Hippocampus. God, I can't wait till the program's over. That just turns me on.
The midbrain. It's really not very sexy. But it's the part of our brain that responds to stimuli. Mm. It's the fight or flight response. It's the thing that starts.
Okay, let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. She appears to be, I saw, she doesn't look like, anyone who goes into these states of consciousness obviously don't look like they looked when they were in a normal, quote-unquote, state
of
consciousness.
Yeah.
But when you look at that video and you see, here's a woman who has a skin color.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, she's being oxygenated. She has she's being fed, so she is, she's not in a state of decay, at least not where you can actually see it. The eyes wide open, the smiles, the grimaces, the sounds that come out of her mouth that are freaky and frightening to me. Again, no disrespect to this woman's condition, but those sounds don't sound like Well, whatever. But when you see that, is it understandable for someone like you who does have an awful lot of course study in medicine, in nursing subjects, in biology especially, don't minimize what you've done. When you see that, does that indicate to you in any way, and I realize you're not a doctor, but in any way, that there is some sort of consciousness that's involved in these responses?
No, not consciousness. Not consciousness the way that we interpret consciousness in terms of in a wakeful, knowing, sentient state. Consciousness on a level that is very, very low, where there is brain activity. You know, there is some brain activity, but it's not the kind of, you know, there's the alpha waves, the beta waves, the delta waves. It's not the brain activity of someone who is aware, of someone who is sentient, of someone whose frontal lobe is functioning.
What about the difference between a permanent vegetative state and a coma? Are those terms interchangeable?
I don't think so. I mean, I'd have to do some more research on that. Again, I don't want to be called on here like some kind of expert, but no, I don't. Comas are recoverable, and I think that there's a clinical definition that there's a differentiation between the two somewhere along the continuum of brain waves. It has something to do with brain waves. That, you know, someone who's in a coma, there is hope, and it depends. There may be stages of coma that I don't understand, but someone who, when they use the term permanent vegetative state, that differentiates it from coma.
Vegetative. The use of vegetative, to me, has always been kind of denigrating. I mean, we're human beings; we're not vegetables.
Right, right.
So, why is that term used?
I don't know. I guess it's because it's so descriptive. I mean, that we don't call people retarded anymore. We call them, you know, mentally depressed, or we call them learning disabled, or we have kinder, gentler terms now, but I think that that's just one that hasn't caught up with political correctness.
But vegetative does have kind of a finality to it.
I mean, if a doctor has said someone's in a permanent vegetative state, they're not saying they're in a coma. They're saying they're in a non-recoverable position, in a position where they're just not going to come back to resume any kind of normal function. She could probably hang on like this for years and years.
Now, shift over. You've also got a background in psychology. The people who react to Ms. Chavo's neural reactions, or whatever they are, the reptilian brain is responding to some basic stimuli. The people who respond to her as though she were, if not conscious, just floating beneath consciousness, they're projecting, aren't they? Their hopes, their love, their
I think her family, her parents are very natural in their reaction. I mean, everyone hopes that their child is going to recover from some tragic, horrible condition that they're in. It's just not realistic, though, that this woman's going to come back and have any kind of quality of life. I mean, another factor would be that even if she were to make some kind of recovery, I mean, she's not going to recover any kind of total function.
But that's not a reason to pull the plug, so to speak.
No, but I would just defer to the suggestions of her doctors. If her doctors are saying she's in a permanent vegetative state where there is no recovery, where there's no coming back from the level that she is presently in experiencing, then I would say that's the final word on it. I mean, this has been going on for years and years. She hasn't appreciated any kind of change in years and years and years. You can take a blind person, and they can have sense memories where they can respond to heat as if it were light. You know, they can think their vision is being restored because they see flashes of light, and it's just completely a reaction to the stimulus of heat on their face or on their body, and they can think, oh my God, my sight's going to be restored. And to me, her blinking and her grimacing are just reactions to stimuli in the room and in her environment, in her immediate surroundings. Someone comes up and brushes her hair away, and she blinks and blinks and blinks.
Right.
That's just a reaction to a stimulus, the same as if a bee stung her on the arm.
Okay. Thank you, Dr. Kathy.
Not even.
Certainly understand your reluctance to paint yourself as an expert, and that's not what we're trying to do here. It's just that you have studied this, and even though you minimize your work in this field, you've got the background. So let's talk about it for just a bit. Do you want to? Marge is calling from Maryville, Indiana. Marge, what say you on the subject?
Hi, Mike.
Hi.
I don't know. It's a gut-wrenching emotional pull, the likes of which defy description.
I guess that what I'm looking for here is, should the government of the state of Florida get involved, or should it be worked out, even though it would not work out to everyone's satisfaction, should it be worked out by the family? That would be the husband, the parents.
I certainly hope so. I mean, look at the thing that they just passed in Congress, and Bush is going to run home and sign it.
Oh, that's the...
On the partial birth abortion.
Right.
I mean, it's such a...
Such a what?
Despised kind of term.
Hey, look, let me put you on hold. I got to take a break here. You can get that thought together, and then I'll come back to you in just a second. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. Somebody wrote cure. Looking at hands for the lines that were, and if they ever masterpiece of literature for dignity. Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
There are over 200 laxatives on the market today, and the one doctors recommend most is Colace Stool Softener Laxatives. That's because over the years, doctors have learned stimulant-free Colace capsules provide comfortable relief their patients can rely on. If you suffer from occasional bouts of constipation, try Colace capsules. If you do, we're sure we'll receive another important endorsement. Yours. For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors, go to ColaceCapsules.com.
If your hacking just won't stop, simply cough. If you're honking like a duck, simply cough. If the rest of you feel fine, but you're coughing all the time, and it's waking up your sister, simply cough.
Simply cough. From the makers of Children's Tylenol, it has only the medicine your child needs to make a cough simply disappear.
If your soda's all a trickle and you're really in a pickle, then you're hacking off a packing, simply cough.
Simply cough. Use as directed.
Ha! John Ashcroft sure showed his critics, didn't he? Those carping librarians and squishy soft civil libertarians who've been alarming the public about the USA Patriot Act got their official comeuppance from Big Bad John. Critics have warned that this act allows federal agents to sweep into any library in America and demand the records of any and all library patrons, forbidding the librarians from even telling the patrons that their records have been ransacked. Ashcroft had previously refused to disclose how many times this power has been used, but growing public opposition has now prompted him to release this classified information. He gloatingly declared that the number of times is zero. Take that, you terrorist-hugging civil liberty softies! Ashcroft said that he hopes this information will stop the librarians from generating any more hysteria. But the gleam of John's gloat faded when the obvious follow-up question was asked. If this invasive authority has been deemed useless by those pursuing September 11th terrorists, why should it stay on the books? It was truly hysterical to hear Ashcroft's PR flack respond lamely that, while we haven't busted any library patrons so far, we might do so any day now. Exactly. Oh, says Ashcroft, don't worry, because we're only using this Patriot Act to chase terrorists. So you can trust us not to go after your library records. Hello? If the founders thought we could trust authority, they wouldn't have bothered with the Bill of Rights. Ashcroft's Patriot Act does not limit use of its liberty-busting police powers to terrorists, and his PR flack has since admitted that the feds already are using the Act's numerous provisions for garden-variety investigations of Americans who have nothing to do with terrorism. This is Jim Hightower saying, to stop Ashcroft's autocrats, call the Bill of Rights Defense Committee, 413-582-0110.
Talk radio right from the left. It's Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour. We are talking about the Terry Schiavo case in Florida. The Florida legislature passed a bill specifically aimed at reinserting the feeding tube into a woman whose doctors or whose court-appointed doctor say is in a permanent vegetative state. Jeb Bush signed it. And apparently the feeding tubes will be reinserted, whether the husband wants it or not. The parents do. It's a hell of a situation. That's what we're talking about for a bit here. Back to Marge in Maryville, Indiana. Go ahead, Marge.
Hi there.
Hey.
You know, the whole situation is bankrupt, and that gets to my impossible, crass question. Who's paying for all this? I mean, I have heard of situations where older couples, where once is ill, and because of the medical expenses, mm-hmm. it either forces them into bankruptcy or they lose every single cent that they have accumulated over a lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I mean, it's the emotional drain and it's the financial drain. I mean, is the state going to pay for her continued vegetative state?
You know, I don't know how it's been paid for the past 13 years. I honestly don't. I haven't seen in any of the news reports. But that's a legitimate question. How is it being paid for? Certainly. I don't have an answer.
I mean, if you look at the bankruptcy reports, a bigger percentage of them are caused by medical expenses.
Medical, yeah, yeah.
And, I mean, you've got all these fantastic new medical devices and treatments and whatnot. And, God help you, I was reading an article in Chicago Tribune today about a fight between the managed cares and everything else mm-hmm. that they're pulling out because the employers don't want to pay for it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And the consumers, that's us, that you and me, are going to be asked to have greater co-pays or pay it out of pocket.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's crazy. It's absolutely nuts.
All right. If you can, give me a one-sentence answer to this question. Given your sense of morality, your sense of ethics, your religious training, and your personal feelings, what would you do if you were called upon to issue a final decision? Does Terry Schiavo's feeding tube get removed, or does it stay in? And you had all the facts and no emotion.
I would say that would be up to her doctor and her immediate family, which in this case is her husband.
Okay, so you would pass on the decision. I think I would too. But I would certainly do the same thing, leave it up to the family, and that's why we have courts in this country.
On a personal basis, I would not want to be left in a state like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think maybe one of the things I may do in the next short span of time is go out and have a living will written.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you know, if push comes to shove and I reach some kind of a state, which is entirely possible,
mm-hmm.
you know, I ain't a kid no more. I wouldn't want to be hanging on in some damn hospital for how long has she been there? 13 years? Dear God.
Since 1990, yeah. But of course that's nothing to someone in a coma. It's nothing. If you've ever had surgery, you know when they put you out and then you come out of the ether, so to speak, no time has passed at all. Oh, sure, time has passed, but not for you.
Yeah, well.
You know. Hey, listen, Marge. Thank you.
You're welcome. I guess.
I appreciate your insight, Marge.
Take care.
You too. From Brett, Mike, isn't it ironic that someone who is in charge of the second leading state in executions, behind Texas, of course, and has the same bloodline to the king of executions himself, is fighting to keep someone alive? And that the sheep that follow Jeb are cheering that someone gets to live. Apparently it is only exciting down there when they get to give someone the needle. Life or death. Brett.
In high places. They've stolen our country and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
More people might be finding seawater coming out of their sinks. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. People in some places are looking to salt water as a source of fresh water. They're finding that the process of desalination is getting more efficient and less expensive as a source of drinking water. The largest desalination plant in the United States is in Tampa Bay, Florida. It pumps an estimated 25 million gallons of fresh water into the city water system every day. A lot of briny salt water is left over after desalination. Some people were worried that these leftovers would cause problems in Tampa Bay, but Mark Luther says that's not the case. Luther is a marine scientist at the University of South Florida, and he studied water circulation in Tampa Bay. He says the leftovers from the desalination plant are diluted before they're discharged. He says that water has a minimal impact on marine life since most organisms already are accustomed to small shifts in salinity. Luther says desalination plants are likely to become common in cities on the coast.
People tend to congregate in cities in areas where there isn't necessarily a lot of fresh water. Globally, yeah, there's a lot of fresh water. The problem is getting it to where the people live, and that involves significant cost quite often. One of the reasons that desalination facilities are becoming more viable is that the costs of them are going down while the availability and costs of alternative sources of fresh water are going up.
Luther says desalination is becoming more efficient because engineers have designed better filters to separate the water and salt. He says the new filters are durable and they demand less energy to push seawater through them. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Animal Talk, helping you with your pets and talking to celebrities, like from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Dolittle movies, Raven Simone. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have two chinchillas and I have a big Briard.
Do you train your dog?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out, so he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Charisse Dolittle, who talks to the animals, and you don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All they need is love.
Animal Talk, Saturdays and Sundays on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Finally, the majority has a voice in talk radio. Here's Mike Malloy.
We are talking about the Terry Schiavo case in Florida. I'm sure you're familiar with it. Florida legislature passed a bill today, and Jeb Bush signed it that mandates the feeding tube to be replaced in this this woman. A couple of emails here, then back to your calls. From Diane in Florida, Mike, when doctors amputate a limb, we don't hold a funeral for it, and we don't try to keep it alive, which technologically we could do just because it's human flesh. We recognize that the seat of who we are is in our brain, not in our other body parts, and most of us recognize that when the brain goes, we're gone. That is why death is now defined in terms of brain function, not the cessation of respiration or heartbeat, because we can keep the latter functions going with technology. What we've got is a family that can't face the death of her daughter. But they should have faced it 13 years ago and let their daughter die in peace. Frankly, I think they're sick and selfish to keep her poor, tortured body alive over and above the fact that the small fortune being spent on keeping her alive should be applied to helping those with the prospect of further life. It's from Diane in Florida. From Rick in Washington, aren't any of these right-wing idiots in Florida concerned that they may be, quote, playing God? Close quote. If a dying person is in such a situation that they cannot be brought back to any semblance of normalcy, then isn't that a sign that God wants this person to die? I wonder if any supporters of this law in Florida have considered that. Somehow I doubt it. Rick in Bellingham, Washington. From Rob, the living will is one issue here. If you have had these discussions with your spouse, it is best to codify it in a living will. I urge your listeners to draft a living will stating these preferences. The forms are readily available for low cost. More to the point, as a resident of Florida, I am appalled that this legislation has been passed, yet I'm not surprised. For a state that, based on the past election, was fairly evenly split, we are dominated by local repugnantans and ruled by the Bush crime family. Accordingly, the subversion of the Constitution, separation of powers, in favor of the religious right is not surprising. Rob. From Lois in Monroeville, PA. Hello, Mike. Maybe it's just because I'm turning 50 tomorrow. Happy birthday, Lois. And I love my husband so much, or I've just been waiting for the right time to chime in. As a respiratory therapist who took care of many poor souls in respiratory failure, taken off the ventilator, and battling the decision to just let go in the state of Florida, I think I can weigh in. There is no quality of life there. The involuntary movements, eye movements go on, et cetera, et cetera. I'm disgusted to hear there were cheering voices and intervention to prolong Terry Schiavo's dying state. You don't need me to describe what it's like to see the look day after day of the significant other when they deal with slow, gradual, complete organ failure, flat EEGs, repeated bacterial, fungal, yeast, and tertiary infective states of these people. This justifies turning the freaking medical bill over to the state, right? Just let Jeb take care of the bill and watch them change their minds. Lois in Monroeville. Yeah, I hadn't thought about that. The organ failure, the bacterial, fungal, and yeast, and all sorts of infections that attack. Oh, God. There was a postscript to Diana's. They're not prolonging her life. They're prolonging her death. What else here? A couple more. From Reverend Debu, the Republicans cheering of this new law are cheering for suffering. Hooray, we're prolonging the suffering and misery, hooray! And they're cheering because the government overruled the will of the individual and the right of an individual to make his or her own choices. Hooray, your government gets to choose whether you live or die, hooray, hooray! That's Republicans for you. They're positively sickening and un-American. It's Reverend Debu from Ward. What are Florida's next of kin and or where are Florida's next of kin and or power of attorney laws? Does her husband have any legitimate standing? As he is her husband, after all. Does he have any legal standing that comes to bear here? Perhaps not, given the quickie legislation that seems to have been forced through. But what precedent is that going to set with regard to power of attorney and or medical next of kin decisions in Florida? That's a good question. Now, just like the U.S. Supreme Court tried to say that their decision giving the presidency to the loser was a one-time-only thing, would not be used as precedent. I've never heard of that. A legal decision or legislative, well, legal decision. This thing in Florida was not a legal decision. It was legislative. So maybe it'll be challenged in court at some point. But that's a fair question. What happens now to next of kin and power of attorney laws already on the books in Florida? Just one or two very quick, two more quick ones. Mike, I read the press release today from the Speaker of the House, Florida House, indicating how proud he was of his 100% rating from the Christian Coalition for preserving the sanctity of marriage. Well, if you're trying to preserve the sanctity of marriage, why are you disregarding the wishes of the husband in a case like this? If the right wing thinks that they can maintain constitutionality and get the tubes reinserted in Terry's body by legislative action, they ought to rethink their position. We are talking about the legislature and not the courts, and I think that's probably the biggest reason. The legislature today took no testimony, had no scientific or medical expertise in front of them, and has now substituted their judgment for that of the judge. The legislature in this case was clearly not well equipped to be a fact-finding body. They didn't take testimony, they didn't have hearings, they didn't weigh the credibility of the witnesses, in this case the doctors. That's exactly what the court did. The court heard the testimony from the doctors, heard the testimony from the husband, and heard the testimony from other people that had heard Ms. Chavo say that she did not want to be continued in a persistent vegetative state. The legislature should not be substituting its judgment. The legislature should not be substituting its judgment for that of the family of the next of kin. That's not a family-friendly act. That's from John in Wausau, Wisconsin. And finally, from Shirley, Mike, I think it's terrible that the government has chosen to interfere and think that it knows more than this woman's husband about what should be done. Furthermore, some may call it love, but I don't see this as love from the parents. I see it as selfishness to keep a person on tubes for 13 years when quality of life will never be known. I see this as cruelty as well as selfishness. As for the right wing, they want power over everyone's lives, whether it be a dead person or someone who is about to be killed. They have no business intervening, in my opinion. I hate these people. Shirley. Yeah, I understand, Shirley. I hate them, too. Kathy is calling from Athens, Georgia. Hey, Kathy.
Hey, Mike. When I heard on the news tonight the decision of the Florida legislature, my first question was, who's going to pay for this? I had a family member who choked on food while in a nursing home. And after... You know, when the paramedics got there, they resuscitated her.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they were a little late, and so she was in a vegetative state.
Mm-hmm.
And she didn't have a living will. And she lived that way for years.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think it's awful.
So,
you know, if my mother, being her closest relative, could have made the decision... She would not have allowed that to go on.
And because there was no living will, nobody could make the decision.
That's right.
Yeah.
It was awful.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, if nothing else, what this terribly tragic situation points out is the need, I guess, given medical technology, you know, let's face it, 50 years ago, 30 years ago, and certainly 100 years ago, when someone approached death, they died. We didn't have these means or methods, these heroic efforts. I have read repeatedly that families that go bankrupt, for example, or deplete all their savings on medical bills, do so in the last 90 days or 120 days of someone's critical illness.
Right.
We have figured out how to defeat death in the short term, but we don't defeat death in the long term. And to apply these scientific faults or I don't know what word I'm trying to find here, these scientific methods to keep an organism breathing or feed it, we've got to have the living wills now. Can you imagine 40, 50, 60, 100 years ago having to probate something called or file something called a living will? I mean, people would have said, what the hell are you talking about? If you're dead, you're dead. If you choke to death and go into a coma, you're going to die very shortly.
Right.
And that's the end of it. And if you are a religious person, your God has called you home. If you're not a religious person, it's the end of the road. That's just the way it goes. It's weird, Kathy.
Yep.
All right. Thanks for checking in. I appreciate your call.
Oh, okay.
All right. You have a nice evening. Lawrence is calling from Arlington, Virginia. Lawrence, welcome to the program. First time calling?
Yes, sir.
Welcome aboard.
Thank you. I've got three quick, I'd like to address this at the institutional level first with three quick, easy ideas.
Sure.
If you go to your hospital, to your admissions department, the patients, every hospital now has a form that they like to have you sign. It's called an advanced medical directive.
Mm-hmm.
And you sign it, they keep it on file, and you get a little card you get to carry around in your wallet next to your driver's license and your Blue Cross card. And that helps to clear up. That makes life a lot easier for the hospital when this comes up. Secondly, the whole elder law issue has grown dramatically in the last 20 years, and it's going to grow exponentially over the next 30.
Mm-hmm.
And these living will kits people are talking about really aren't worth a damn when the rubber meets the road.
Is that right?
The first step to do is that there's a website called NOLO.com, N-O-L-O.com,
mm-hmm.
NOLO Law, and they've got excellent books and kits and everything there, and that's the excellent starting place. The second thing is you want a really good elder care attorney to deal with the issue of Social Security, Medicare, and what happens to the assets. There used to be you could put your property in your wife's name if you knew you were going to be, you know, irretrievably ill in 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
As of a year ago, it was a 2-year waiting cycle. It might be 3 now. So they go back, and yes, they can put everybody into Chapter 11. And when the estate is settled, the IRS is there saying back taxes, penalty, and interest.
Wow.
So that's how that game is played. The real issue here, I think there are two real issues. At the institutional level, the insurance companies are saying, we're looking forward at our Medicare costs over the next 10, 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to basically bankrupt them, so far as they're concerned. So they're looking for ways, bluntly, to head the hill off at the pass.
Right.
Half of all medical costs are involved in the last 6 months of life.
It is the last 6 months.
The last 6 months.
Yeah.
And that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to put some kind of way to begin the right today,
mm-hmm.
where they can do this, and then tomorrow where they'll have the power to do this against your will, like they do, I think it is, in the Netherlands. They have a quality of life indicators, and it's a little checklist.
Mm-hmm.
And the doctor comes by, and if you don't get like an 80 or a passing grade, he gives you the big shot, you go to sleep, and everybody's happy. That's a dangerous trend in the society.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm afraid this is what it's coming down to. If you want to talk about sacrificial lambs, here's somebody in these conditions, and everybody's going to go, they're alone, they have no family. There are a lot of people out there like that are older,
sure.
No family, the kids have forgotten about them. And the hospital's going to say, it's costing us $5,000, $10,000, $15,000 a month to keep them going.
Mm-hmm.
If we have this law like they have in the Netherlands or Holland, where they just hit a checklist. A doctor comes in with a checklist, and if you don't get like an 80,
mm-hmm.
he gives you a shot, you go to sleep, and the taxpayer is relieved of an enormous burden.
Now, this is for people with no next of kin. This is people on their own, I take it.
That's right.
Right.
But no, that's right. No, that in the Holland or the Netherlands, I forget which, that's even for people with next of kin. They can sit back and say, in effect, grandpa's taking up space.
Yeah, but I mean, a doctor can't override a next of kin's decision in the Netherlands or Holland. If my relative is in that state, the doctor can't come and say, "Well, Mike, sorry, we're going to kill your relative."
No, I don't believe so.
Right, it has to be someone who's completely on their own. But it's still grim and gruesome. I mean, Jesus, somebody going down a checklist. All the more reason to have provisions regarding what sort of condition you do not wish to have your body continue to function.
And you can go to your nearest hospital tomorrow and mm-hmm. say, I want an advanced medical directive. They'll gladly. They're like, thank God, take the
yeah,
burden off
yeah,
of us.
Yeah. Now, you said the website is NOLO, as in NOLO Contendere, N-O-L-O,
right.
NOLO.com.
That's right.
And what will people find there?
All manner of self-help legal books by people who are basically somewhere to the left of you.
Okay. In other words, some good stuff.
Oh, it's landlord, tenant, Social Security, workers' comp.
Living will stuff?
They got a whole whole elder care section.
Okay.
But because the Social Security laws are always changing on this,
yeah,
you're gonna you want to use them to your basic stuff, and then you want to run everything by.
Mm-hmm.
And they're listed as a specialty now, elder care lawyers.
Yeah.
Just contact your local senior center, and they'll do a referral for you, and that'll be taken care of.
You sound very knowledgeable in all this stuff.
Well, that's because I went into a hospital 10 years ago for a 20-minute outpatient operation, arthroscopic knee surgery.
Mm-hmm.
Woke up 8 hours later, couldn't move my eyes, couldn't move my eyelids, couldn't move a muscle, and there's a tube down my throat and a machine doing the breathing. I was allergic to the anesthetic. They didn't test the blood before like they should have. And at that moment, I'm like, you know, when I woke up and I could not even move my eyelids, I'm like, dear God, not this.
You were paralyzed.
not this, totally.
Mm-hmm.
Totally. And like a half an hour later, guy comes over to me and he goes, okay, about a half hour later, we're going to try to take this tube out of your throat and see if you can breathe a little bit. And I'm like, breathe a little bit.
Oh, my God.
And so I'm like very, you know, at that point, as the saying goes, I had one thought in my mind. Dear God, not this.
Yeah, yeah.
Let me go on a fiery accident or... But not this. But that's at that point, I became, like, really interested in what happens.
Mm-hmm.
And I talked to nurses who worked in nursing homes, and they're like, if you're alone and old and there's nobody to speak for you, you're kind of at the mercy of the system.
Yeah.
And you know that the insurance companies are going to run the system.
How long what happened after 8 hours?
After a half hour later, they pulled the tube, and I started to breathe. And so they said, okay, we're just gonna sit here and watch you, and as long as you breathe, we're gonna assume that you're getting stuff back. The minute you can, move your eyelids. And about a half hour later, I could move my eyelids. It was like pushing a train up a mountain.
Wow.
And gradually,
everything came back.
Everything came back. But when you wake up from a 20-minute outpatient procedure,
mm-hmm.
8 hours later,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'd been out for 8 hours with this machine breathing for me, unable to move. So at that point, you know, I can assure you, you know, I'm like, you know, Southern Baptist Convention. You know? So I'm like, you know, anything but this, Lord.
Yeah.
Anything but this.
I hear that.
But I looked at the economics of it when I was in grad school. And the economics of this thing, of this freight train that is bearing down on the American people were falling. And the insurance companies are looking for some kind of institutional
way to say he's alone, nobody to speak for him. Sure. Hey, listen, Lawrence, thanks for the first person thing and also for the information. We appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.
All right, sir. Take care. I hope you call again. Check it out, Nolo, NOLO.com. We'll be right back.
It can be, which is
why you want to feel really fast. I mean, the instant maximum strength Mylanta liquid hits your throat, you can feel it rushing right to where you need it.
Ah, the cool liquid hits the back of your throat, and you know you're feeling something
velvety smooth, soothing that burning inside you. Mylanta's wonderful, wet, drenching sensation
restores and refreshes in a most glorious fashion.
Try maximum strength Mylanta.
Soothing at the
speed of life.
When Ann and Mike began looking for their dream home, someone else was there to help make it a reality. While Ann took virtual tours on Realtor.com, someone was there to check comparable listings. While Mike was searching for their homeowner's policy, someone was there to preview houses as they came on the market. And when Ann and Mike found their dream, someone else was there to make sure it didn't slip away. When you are ready to buy a home, work with someone who worked with you. We're Realtors. Real estate is our life. Only Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, sildenafil citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long-itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
Excuse me, ma'am.
Yeah?
Have you bought your Halloween candy yet?
Not yet.
Well, I've got the best candy idea for you to give away on Halloween.
Really?
Juicy gummies.
Juicy gummies?
That's right. Juicy gummies are the first gummies made with real fruit juices. They're fat-free and they are so good.
Mmm.
You have to try them all. The peach rings, froggies, creepies, and much, much more. They're all delicious.
Yeah, they are.
Juicy gummies come in playful packages, fun shapes and colors. All the kids will be at your door when the word gets out that you're giving away juicy gummies on Halloween.
Mmm.
Juicy gummies come in 30 and 50 pack bags, so there's plenty of candy for the whole neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And did I mention that these gummy candies are actually made with real fruit juices and fat-free?
Wow.
So if you haven't bought your candy for Halloween, rush on out to Walmart, Kmart, Eckerd's, Dollar General, 7-Eleven, Fred's, Kerr Drugs, Brooks Pharmacy, and many other stores nationwide. Sorry, ma'am, you can't eat all of our samples. Well, this store here sells juicy gummies.
Ooh, thanks.
Look for Juicy Gummies, America's first gummy made with real fruit juices. Boy, they're delicious.
Prepare to be astonished!
Okay, so just what is going on here, people?
Did you know that you can get the best of Progressive Talk Radio on Sirius Satellite Radio Stream 145?
Oh, really?
Well, that's remarkable.
Monday through Friday on Sirius Satellite Radio Stream 145 is loaded with political talk radio from the other side.
Hurrah!
Kick it off your morning with Doug Steffens' Good Day from 5 a.m. till noon Eastern Time, followed by the Tom Hartman Show from noon to 3 p.m. Then get different perspectives from different show hosts on Radio Free Speed Zone from 3 to 5 p.m.
Yeah, okay, that sounds good.
Family Talk with Dr. Mike Riera then takes the reins from 5 p.m. till 7, followed by All American Talk Radio from 7 p.m. till 9. Then get ready to fire up your night with the Mike Malloy Show from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time, all live Monday through Friday on Sirius Satellite Radio Stream 145, powered by the only progressive talk radio network, i.e. America Radio Network.
So what do you want, a medal?
Well, isn't that special?
Last week, our great leader kept his push to explain to America that everything is going just fine in Iraq. I'm Dean Randall with this week's Cuckoo Conservatives. Bush's proclamations of great success were given a healthy boost by Republican lawmakers who were recently taken on carefully planned guided tours of Baghdad and returned from Iraq bearing, surprise, good news. Take Representative George Nethercutt, for example, who said, quote, "The story of what we've done in the post-war period is remarkable. It is a better and more important story than losing a couple of soldiers every day," end quote. Well, I guess that depends on whether you're related to one of the soldiers or not. But if you think you might not be getting the whole picture here, you're right. Last week, Senator Chris Dodd and other top Democrats were denied entry to Iraq by the Pentagon. Why? Because, according to the Pentagon, no planes were available to ferry the group from Jordan to Iraq. Yeah, right. So the next time you see George W. complaining about how the news coming out of Iraq isn't fair and balanced, you know that he's right. Only Republicans are allowed to see what's going on over there. I'm Dean Randall with this week's Cuckoo Conservatives. Find out more at DemocraticUnderground.com.
You're now entering a flying monkey free zone. Here's Mike Malloy.
Four and a half before the hour. If you're on hold about this particular subject, I will take your call as soon as we come back from the break. After we clear the lines here with the people who have been waiting to comment on this, then we're going to move on to a different topic, okay? From Jim, I'll bet Dr. Kevorkian is watching this. From Robert, Mike, the legislature in Florida overturned a court ruling in that state that had already decided that the feeding tubes be removed based on the facts and testimonies of the experts and family. So I guess the legislature in a Bush Republican-run situation, if it decides it doesn't like a decision a court makes, they just, quote, overturn it. From Bob in Amherst, Mass. From John and Peggy, I don't want to be insensitive, but this is just one more case of the Republicans appealing to their base, the brain dead. Ooh, ouch. Marge is right. Jeb can't, won't take care of foster children in the state of Florida, but wants to assume the liability for a woman who's been in a coma for 13 years. This is a decision among the family, period. Don't the Republicans hate government intervention in your life? From Diane. From Ann in Florida, in answer to a caller's question about who's been paying for Terry's health care, Florida newspaper reported in 1992, Schiavo won a $700,000 malpractice award on Terry's behalf. Court documents show that Schiavo's legal fees have drained the fund to $140,000. Schiavo, the husband, received a separate $300,000 for himself as a result of that lawsuit. As long as Schiavo is married to Terry, he will inherit the remainder of her settlement when she dies. In 1998, independent guardian Richard Pierce Jr. reported to the judge that Schiavo would benefit financially if his wife died, the AP reported. Pierce noted that for the first 4 years after Terry's collapse, quote, Schiavo pursued every manner of treatment and rehabilitation conceivable, end quote. But when the litigation ended and the money was awarded, Schiavo had, quote, a change of heart concerning further treatment, end quote. Ooh, that's kind of gruesome, isn't it? From Celia in Winter Park, Florida, Mike, the lesson for everyone here as a result of this tragic case is to define your wishes in a living will before you are in a debilitated state. If you do not want heroic measures, or if you do, please put it down in a legal document while you are well. Terry has been cared for via malpractice settlement. Yeah, okay. All right. Like I said, if you're on hold, we will about this subject. We'll take your call as soon as we come back, and then we shall move on. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
Brendan was spending the afternoon helping me pick out furniture for the new place.
The ladies are doing a little furniture shopping, are they?
That's scary. I hope you didn't make any choices without a professional.
Beanbag chairs for everybody.
God help us. Bearskin rug.
I put the car in Swinger, baby.
On the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune into the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Picklesbush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. Britain has scrapped plans for Queen Elizabeth II and George W. Bush to take part in a London parade next month because of fears of angry protests over the war in Iraq. An unnamed official was quoted as saying that detailed plans had been made for the procession, but Downing Street, anxious about possible anti-war protests from the start, has now decided to pull the plug on it. Downing Street was working with Bush's staff on the state visit and indicated the White House made no attempt to hide their disappointment. Instead, Bush will travel by helicopter to avoid perhaps hundreds of thousands of protesters on the road routes and will not address Parliament because of fears of a boycott or even a walkout by some lawmakers. Assailants ambushed a U.S. Army foot patrol just outside Fallujah at midday Monday, killing one American and wounding 5 others in the second day of attacks in this anti-U.S. hotbed west of Baghdad. The patrol from the 82nd Airborne Division was first hit by an exploding homemade bomb and then by small arms fire, the military said. It was one of 43 attacks on Americans all over Iraq on Monday. One soldier killed Monday marked the 339th American to die in Iraq, the 218th to perish in combat. Since May 1st, when President Bush declared an end to combat, 104 U.S. soldiers have been killed by hostile action and many thousands injured. Since the Vietnam era, presidents have worried that their military actions would lose support once the public glimpsed the remains of U.S. soldiers arriving at air bases in flag-draped caskets. The Bush administration has found a simple solution to the problem. It has banned news coverage and photography of dead soldiers' homecomings on all military bases. A March directive from the Pentagon blacked out media coverage of deceased military personnel at the major ports of the returning remains. A White House spokesman said that Bush has not attended any memorials or funerals for soldiers killed in action during his presidency, as his predecessors had done. More IE America Network news after this.
I'm Don Henley. 2003 marks the centennial anniversary of the National Wildlife Refuge System. Today, more than 530 refuges conserve some 90 million acres throughout the country. With a refuge in each and every state, and many within short drives of major cities, it's easy to see what the National Wildlife Refuge System is all about. Help us celebrate this truly outstanding legacy. Visit your local refuge.
An Australian woman gave birth to an 8-pound baby boy only 3 hours after learning she was pregnant. Complaining of indigestion, Carol in Hounsville checked into a hospital where an ultrasound confirmed the baby had been gestating for 9 months and her pains were labor contractions. For IE America Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
While Mike was putting up his own for sale sign, someone was helping his neighbors, John and Diane, with plans to sell their home. As Mike spent Saturday figuring out legal agreements and guessing his home's value, someone was preparing a counteroffer so John could help at the school fundraiser. And while Mike and his wife were reevaluating their asking price for the third time, someone was closing the sale on John and Diane's home. Work with someone who will work with you. We're realtors. Real estate is our life.
Ha! Ah, John Ashcroft sure showed his critics, didn't he? Those carping librarians and squishy soft civil libertarians who've been alarming the public about the USA Patriot Act got their official comeuppance from Big Bad John. Critics have warned that this act allows federal agents to sweep into any library in America and demand the records of any and all library patrons, forbidding the librarians from even telling the patrons that their records have been ransacked. Ashcroft had previously refused to disclose how many times this power has been used, but growing public opposition has now prompted him to release this classified information. He gloatingly declared that the number of times is zero. Take that, you terrorist-hugging civil liberty softies! Ashcroft said that he hopes this information will stop the librarians from generating any more hysteria. But the gleam of John's gloat faded when the obvious follow-up question was asked. If this invasive authority has been deemed useless by those pursuing September 11th terrorists, why should it stay on the books? It was truly hysterical to hear Ashcroft's PR flack respond lamely that, while we haven't busted any library patrons so far, we might do so any day now. Exactly. Oh, says Ashcroft, don't worry, because we're only using this Patriot Act to chase terrorists, so you can trust us not to go after your library records. Hello, if the founders thought we could trust authority, they wouldn't have bothered with the Bill of Rights. Ashcroft's Patriot Act does not limit use of its liberty-busting police powers to terrorists, and his PR flack has since admitted that the feds already are using the Act's numerous provisions for garden-variety investigations of Americans who have nothing to do with terrorism. This is Jim Hightower saying, to stop Ashcroft's autocrats, call the Bill of Rights Defense Committee, 413-582-0110.
Get things in my mind, and I say, let's try this.
Dude,
and
here's Nancy in the background.
Nancy.
Oh,
Nancy.
Am I on the air? Oh.
Hello.
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 Sorry.
You're sorry you're on the air?
I'm glad I didn't say something I really shouldn't have said.
Really?
You should have heard what she was telling me a minute ago.
Wow.
Bite me, doughboy. On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. We're finishing up the discussion here about the Terry Schiavo case in Florida. Florida legislature passed and Jeb Bush signed a bill that says put the feeding tubes back in to a woman who has been in a vegetative state for about 13 years. The husband wants the tubes disconnected. The parents do not. And that's where it stands now. The legislature has spoken. Whether it's constitutional to do it that way or not will be up to a court to decide, I guess, and the tubes will go back in. And that's what we've been talking about. Shelley is calling from Granby, Massachusetts. Hey, Shelley.
Hi, Mike.
How are you?
Very good. How are you?
Good.
I sense you're ready to move on from this topic, but I wanted to make a couple of comments before you moved on, if I could.
Sure, absolutely.
My doctoral degree is in psychology. So I wanted to kind of clarify one thing that Kathy had said earlier. And I realized she did not hold herself out as an expert in this area.
Right.
So that taking that into consideration, she had talked about folks who are learning disabled, and I feared that learning disabled people listening to your show would be shuddering at her statement,
mm-hmm.
which is that we used to use the word retarded, and she said now we use the word learning disabled, and mm-hmm. learning disabled people are not retarded.
Yeah, I don't think Kathy was being specific. I think she was. First of all, she very seldom comes on the air. I'm not trying to cut excuses for her, but I think she would be in perfect agreement with what you mm-hmm. just said, like substituting the term differently abled for handicapped.
Right.
Yeah. So I don't want you to read anything into what Kathy said. I put her on the spot by saying, "Hey, open your mic and talk."
I thought maybe that was the case.
Right.
I don't read anything into it at all, but
right.
I thought that people who have learning disabilities who
sure.
might listen to your program might be freaking out at the fact.
Well, I'm glad
that
I'm glad you called in with a clarification, because a statement like that by me, by Kathy, by anyone else, whether it's spoken innocently or not, has to be corrected. I absolutely agree with you.
And then the other thing that I thought I might raise just in relationship to this topic is this idea that there's kind of a humanistic side to this. I mean, I can talk about Terry's situation from a very clinical point of view.
Right.
And I think it's easy for us to do that as living people, you know, living able-bodied folks.
Sure.
But there's also sort of a humanistic side to this. And if she were, for example, you know, your child,
mm-hmm.
it might be a lot. It's a totally different ball game, you know, to have to look at her situation. So I'm not inclined to judge her parents and the people involved in her situation. I think until you're in that situation, it's hard to say what one would actually do.
Right. I certainly don't disagree with that. However, I think the an additional factor has to be considered by these parents, and I am a parent. I'm a grandparent, so I understand. If faced with the same situation, I'm not sure how I would react. But I do know this about me, and maybe this applies to Ms. Chavo's parents. If the situation appeared to be as hopeless for my child, my adult child, as it appears to be for Terry Chavo, then I would have to rely on medical doctors, since it is a medical condition. It's not a voodoo condition. It's not a God was angry at my child and therefore put her in this condition. It's nothing like that at all. It is a medical condition. So at that point, I know this about me. I don't know if it applies to Chavos. I would put faith in the medical community to give me a scientific evaluation on which I could make a decision, and I would make that decision if I were told your daughter may live, Mr. Malloy, for another 20 years if this is what you consider living. So we can keep her in this state for 20 years if we remove the feeding tube. In the meantime, she will get all these opportunistic infections and on and on and on. I don't think, Shelley, that I would have a difficulty making a final decision. It would be extremely difficult to work through this on an emotional level.
Mm-hmm.
But with the advice and help of experts, I cannot see my wanting a child, my surviving parent, or my wife to exist in that kind of condition. If the medical decision was, and like Kathy pointed out, a coma, one can recover from a coma, but it's my understanding that you don't recover from a persistent or permanent vegetative state. So in that, if that is true, and I would base it on scientific knowledge and not emotion, I would go through the emotions. There's no question. It would be hell. It would be pure hell to go through something like this with a loved one.
I'm right with you. I mean, if I could put myself in Terry's position, which is very difficult to do, And I would not want to be kept alive in her state.
Well,
that's me, but that's a very subjective thing. I mean, the thing is, Mike, what you know, you say hopeless. It depends on you know how you define hopeless.
There are some people who would keep her
or other folks alive. In various states of condition.
Sure, sure.
That's why the living will is so important, because what is, you know, hopeless to me, I would not want to be kept alive in her position, mm-hmm. but other people consider her position to be very hopeful.
Right.
It's
but
a very subjective call.
If I understand the medical aspect of this or the physical aspect of this, Terry Schiavo is not in any position. Terry Schiavo has ceased to exist. There is no consciousness there. She has no reference point upon which she can stand and let her ego say, I'm in a terrible situation here. What do I do? There is no reference point. This is death. This is living death. With quotes around the word living, based on my understanding of death, and I'm leaving any religious, I have no religious belief here, but if, for someone who does have a religious belief, I don't think this is contradictory.
Well, I don't have any religious belief either, but I mean, she is conscious.
Well,
I mean, she's conscious like
an
infant child would be conscious.
I disagree. That's where you and I would that's where the road diverges. Because to me, based on the medical opinion and based on the science, the woman is not conscious. She that's how you define permanent vegetative state. The doctors cannot confirm cerebral cortex activity, which is a definition of death. So, and death, from a purely physical standpoint, does not carry with it consciousness, I don't think.
Who says that, Mike, that she doesn't have any cerebral cortex activity? I hadn't read that part.
That was part of the AP story that medical experts say without with a lack of cerebral cortex activity, then the person is effectively dead. There's no consciousness there. There's no by consciousness. I mean self-awareness, and beyond that, and not just self-awareness. I don't mean that in an advanced context. An infant, I guess, is self-aware. Although there's some debate about that.
That's the thing. I mean, and we are. I think we're in agreement in that it's very subjective, and it's we don't know this. I mean, medical science can't really say. They can't really answer. We can't really answer these questions, so it's hard to say. I mean, we know she responds, but what does that mean? So it really is a subjective call in terms of how that individual wants to be maintained. You know, how does Terry want to live?
Well,
we don't know that because she doesn't have a living will, but we have to go by what her husband
says. That's true. But I think anyone who deals in mortuary science, any mortician, will tell you that given the right circumstances and a fresh enough corpse, the mortician can get a response out of that body. That doesn't mean the body's alive. Terry Schiavo can respond to certain stimuli, but that doesn't mean she's alive. So,
yeah, it's a little bit of a stretch there, though, Mike, between a corpse and a mortician. Yeah.
Well, but
she's,
it, but,
I mean, she's
but
a little bit more.
But the body,
a little
no.
More responsive.
Well, I'm not comparing her to a corpse. I'm trying to build on what you said about because she responds to stimulation, she has an ego sense or she has a consciousness. I disagree. I disagree completely.
I agree with you that I don't know that she does. I mean, she does seem to have.
Well, your idea of having a living will is absolutely the best advice I think anyone could give or receive. Given the fact that there are heroic methods to keep people breathing,
mm-hmm.
whether they have brain function or not. Whether they have heart function or not, it is possible to keep someone's heart beating and their lungs working like a bellows. That does not equal life, and I think people need, as you said, and a couple of people have said, we've got to have a living will.
You're exactly right. It's the quality of the life. I mean, it's on a continuum here, and however you want to characterize it or what words you want to use, whether it's consciousness or whatever, I mean, that I think it's very nebulous. But the idea is that, you know, this all falls on the continuum, and it's a quality of life issue. And does this particular individual want to be maintained in a live in a, you know, so-called living state in this condition? Yeah. I don't know. I mean, we have nothing to go on except what her spouse says. Mm-hmm. I would not want to be maintained in that condition.
Yeah. Hey, thanks, Shelley. I appreciate you checking in. I hope you call again.
Thanks. It was nice talking to you.
All right. Take care. According to what we saw, the doctors there say there may be some occasional minimal fleeting, how many modifiers can I use here, cerebral cortex activity, but it's not it's activity that is not consistent, nor is it possible to recover from the state that Machavo's in, according to their expert opinions. And again, medicine, medicine is first and foremost a science. It is on a secondary or tertiary level, philosophy or religion. It is primarily science. Doctors say her responses are completely reflexive, like if you hit your knee with a hammer. Or Kathy notes what is called the Babinski reflex in infants. That is when their toes curl, when the sole of their foot is stimulated. It's not because the baby is lying there going, oh, someone just tickled my foot, or whatever. It's a reflex. But Shelley's right. So much of this is subjective. Have your living will. Quick break. We'll be right back.
Excuse me, ma'am.
Yeah?
Have you bought your Halloween candy yet?
Not yet.
Well, I've got the best candy idea for you to give away on Halloween.
Really?
Juicy gummies.
Juicy gummies?
That's right. Juicy gummies are the first gummies made with real fruit juices. They're fat-free and they are so good.
Mmm.
You have to try them all. The peach rings, froggies, creepies, and much, much more. They're all delicious.
Yeah, they are.
Juicy gummies come in playful packages, fun shapes and colors. All the kids will be at your door when the word gets out that you're giving away juicy gummies on Halloween.
Mmm.
Juicy gummies come in 30 and 50 pack bags, so there's plenty of candy for the whole neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And did I mention that these gummy candies are actually made with real fruit juices and fat-free?
Wow.
So if you haven't bought your candy for Halloween, rush on out to Walmart, Kmart, Eckerd's, Dollar General, 7-Eleven, Fred's, Kerr Drugs, Brooks Pharmacy, and many other stores nationwide. Sorry, man, you can't eat all of our samples. Well, this store here sells juicy gummies.
Ooh, thanks.
Look for Juicy Gummies, America's first gummy made with real fruit juices. Boy, they're delicious.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, Sildenafil Citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long-itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
If you've got a clogged up nose, Simply Stuffy. If you've got a snuffly nose, Simply Stuffy. If the rest of you feels fine, but your nose is out of line, give your schnozzle what it needs, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy, from the makers of Children's Tylenol. It has only the medicine your child needs to make a stuffy nose simply disappear.
If you want to smell a rose, get the stuff out of your nose. If you're sick of feeling snotty, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy. Use as directed.
Show. Welcome back. This is Tom Hartman. I'm calling for a return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy that this country was founded on, when corporations had to answer to the people and couldn't buy off politicians, where fair play wasn't a code phrase for the rich getting more and working and middle management people getting less, where there was a social contract that people's basic needs would be taken care of because that's what we do in a community, in a nation that was founded on justice and fairness, not on materialism and greed. Where people could work to get ahead, but at the same time, we don't leave people starving in the streets. The eternal question of this program is, are we advancing democracy or are we advancing corporatism?
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Anaconda.
Budgie.
Camel.
Dick Dick.
Emu.
Frog.
Gopher.
Hyena.
Iguana.
Jaguar.
Cuda Mundi.
Llama.
Minx.
Animal
Narwhal.
Talk. We talk about what you do to your animals and what your animals do to you. Mark, Donna, and Dr. Brad answer all your animal questions from A to Z. Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network. Penguin.
Whale.
Rooster.
Seal.
Tortoise.
Vampire bat.
Zebra.
I'm calling about the Mike Malloy program. You know, the reason I turned this man off.
Why?
Is because he sounds like an 8-year-old.
Me?
Name calling.
I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not.
You should get somebody who at least has some intelligence.
No, don't fire me. No. I got kids in college.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
Restoring balance to talk radio. Here's Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour. Wrapping up this topic. A couple more calls here. Nancy is calling from East Tennessee. Hey, Nancy.
Hey, Mike. Well, I believe everything's been said about this topic, hasn't it?
Just about.
Well, I do have a couple of things to say.
Okay.
This thing, I've been kind of following it. I mean, over the past few years, there's been little articles here and there you read, you know, and there's both a political and a family involvement aspect to this thing, you know. And on the political, I mean, when I heard today that the legislature had made this maneuver, you know, and that Jeb Bush was going to sign it, I thought, you know, this is just, it's, these right wingers are just so twisted that they just are not going to be satisfied until they control every aspect of our life, our sex life, and our death.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And, I can't believe that they just, the courts made a decision. I mean, this thing has been being fought for the last 13 years.
Yeah.
And, you know, now on the family side of it, well, I think it's just like one more on the political side again. It's just like one more outrage.
Mm-hmm.
It's like if they just bombard us with these outrages, pretty soon we are all just numb to the outrages.
I hear that.
You know, and it doesn't affect us anymore.
Yeah.
And I really believe that's the plan.
I don't doubt it. The right wing in this country uses the same tactics to destroy the political system, to make all of us be so turned off from politics with their ugliness and their evilness that, you know, now 50% of us don't
I'm
even
really
vote.
I'm really stubborn, and, you know, it's starting to work on me.
I hear you.
You know, I mean, the Democrats, I've been a Democrat for, you know, all my life.
Mm-hmm.
All of my adult life, and right. I'm so disgusted with them. But, you can't give up because look what will take hold.
That's true.
You know, it's just like it makes you so angry.
I know.
I've never been this angry.
Well,
it's horrible.
me too. Let's use the anger for something positive. Nancy, thank you.
I wanted to say something about
family,
too.
Okay.
Okay. Somebody did touch on this, I think one of your emails. He did, you know, the husband, there was a lawsuit. He received about $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the family, there's been a lot of animosity between him and the family,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of it having to do with this money they didn't want him to have. And, you know, but, I mean, the state that she is in is not really a mystery to the medical community. I mean, they know.
Right.
Your brain can stop functioning.
Right.
With all other organs continuing.
And that's usually called death.
Exactly.
Right.
And so it's brain dead now, which means, you know, she's gone. they're keeping a physical body alive with machines and tubes, but she's gone.
Yep.
And I don't understand, I mean, her family, I mean, I know this has to be, you know, really, really horrible for them, because I have a son, you know.
Right.
But I honestly believe that at some point, you know, the doctors have to, you know, have to talk to these people and help them understand, and then at some point they have to accept the reality.
Yeah, I would think.
You know, and the only way I think that anybody's going to heal from this is to let her go.
I think that's the bottom line on it, Nancy.
You know?
I really believe that. Hey, listen, thank you so much.
Okay.
I appreciate your comments. Quick break. We'll be right back. Doc will wrap this up for us, calling from Wisconsin. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
More people might be finding seawater coming out of their sinks. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. People in some places are looking to salt water as a source of fresh water. They're finding that the process of desalination is getting more efficient and less expensive as a source of drinking water. The largest desalination plant in the United States is in Tampa Bay, Florida. It pumps an estimated 25 million gallons of fresh water into the city water system every day. A lot of briny salt water is left over after desalination. Some people were worried that these leftovers would cause problems in Tampa Bay, but Mark Luther says that's not the case. Luther is a marine scientist at the University of South Florida, and he studied water circulation in Tampa Bay. He says the leftovers from the desalination plant are diluted before they're discharged. He says that water has a minimal impact on marine life since most organisms already are accustomed to small shifts in salinity. Luther says desalination plants are likely to become common in cities on the coast.
People tend to congregate in cities in areas where there isn't necessarily a lot of fresh water. Globally, yeah, there's a lot of fresh water. The problem is getting it to where the people live, and that involves significant cost quite often. One of the reasons that desalination facilities are becoming more viable is that the costs of them are going down while the availability and costs of alternative sources of fresh water are going up.
Luther says desalination is becoming more efficient because engineers have designed better filters to separate the water and salt. He says the new filters are durable and they demand less energy to push seawater through them. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Picklesbush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
What do you think I like about communing with nature as much as I do, being on the tractor as much time as I do, or spending time with the animals?
Spitting diesel into the ozone layer? Yeah, you're at one with nature.
You have meddled with the primal forces of nature, and you will atone.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Against right-wing rhetoric. Get locked and loaded with Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour. Doc is calling from Wisconsin. Doc, put a cap on this for me, will you?
We'll try to do it as quickly as possible.
Okay.
You know, when it comes to end-of-life choices, this is kind of a passion of mine. And I'd like to extend it just a little bit.
Okay.
I think that every person shouldn't have to suffer needlessly when they die.
Mm-hmm.
And that I'm talking about people that know what's going on.
Sure.
Not like this lady down in Florida, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that there are organizations out there that promote this.
Hemlock Society is
Hemlock
one.
Society. You can find it at hemlock.org.
Mm-hmm.
I think that part of the problem revolves around religion.
Yes, indeed.
And I believe that all religious faiths, you know, really should be respected, but you know, that no one should be allowed to impose their beliefs about end-of-life choices on anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, there's where the problem comes. I watched my father die. I watched my mother die. It was not pleasant, either one of them. My brother-in-law is an undertaker, and he's never watched anybody die.
Mm.
And until you've gone through that, you never want anybody else to go through it with you.
Right.
And you should be allowed that choice. I think Oregon has a law that...
Death with dignity.
Death with dignity. And right. Only a couple dozen people have taken taken advantage of it, if you can call it such a thing, taking advantage of it. Who wants to die? But just knowing that it's there, it's kind of like an insurance policy. So if you have that stroke and you lift your finger, you should be accorded the same kind of benefits as a dog. Or somebody that's committed a murder.
Yeah, we have compassion for animals that are in pain and perhaps couldn't recover sufficiently so that they could be a dog or an animal that's severely wounded by being run over by a car. The animal's still alive, but it's in horrible agony. It's usually euthanized.
No government has the right to tell us how we die.
I wouldn't think.
I don't think so.
I wouldn't think, Doc.
The maintaining control over how we die is just as important as maintaining control over how we live.
That's true.
Well, anyway, it's a little off topic, but it is about an end-of-life choice.
Yeah.
And I would like to have that choice. And I would suspect many of your listeners would, too.
I think so. I think so.
Good to talk to you again.
Hey, yeah, Doc, don't be such a stranger. I'd get all your emails, and thank you very much.
Well, I'm still listening.
But, yeah.
If you've got so many good listeners, let them get a chance to talk.
There you go.
Yeah.
Thanks, Doc.
Take care.
All right, sir. Okay. Now, I just two emails here, and then we're out of here. This is from Peter. 15 years of paramedic, 1 year ICU registered nurse. Mike, some of the ugliest situations in medicine arise from the difficulty we have in the twilight between life and death. I've had patients whose bodies were literally rotting out from under them and yet were still hideously conscious, grip my arm, plead with their eyes that I take that breathing tube out. The families, in some cases, who have no use for dear old dad in life, play out their guilt and express their so-called love by keeping the respirator hooked up to a body that is literally dissolving into the sheets. An anonymous survey of critical care RNs a dozen years ago showed that 1 in 5 of them had unilaterally taken steps to end the life of a patient in a vegetative state. These are some of the most compassionate people we have on the planet. That they are driven to this point so frequently shows how unbalanced our society has become in its irrational high-tech medicine that doesn't extend life so much as expand the process of death. From Peter. Thanks, Peter. And
And then Ted. I don't know the origins of the Chavo story, but here we go, a sensational tale that pushes the buttons of liberals, just like the Ten Commandments farce. Meanwhile, the Valerie Plame affair, etc., gets pushed aside. It's interesting that a story in Jeb's state becomes such a big story that the legislature pushed through the order right at this time, and now Jeb has signed it. And at the same time, the partial birth abortion ban gets passed by the Senate. Karl Rove has a term for distracting the opposition with news stories. It's called flood the zone. Obviously, Chavo and partial birth raise important issues and need to be discussed, but I think it's important for liberal media journalists and talk show hosts to question if there's a hidden agenda behind all this, to throw the opposition to Bush off onto a tangent, to help submerge truly scandalous stories about the Bush White House. Ted. Well, yeah, there probably is an element of that, but I don't believe everything is quite that finely tuned and engineered by Karl Rove, Ted. I may be wrong. Could be the case, but I believe an issue like the Chavo issue is one that is worth discussing. I certainly, damn sure wouldn't do it. You know, there's an old thing in talk radio. They're called evergreens. Subjects that no matter what, you're going to get a response, you're going to get phone calls. I don't believe phone calls constitute a talk show. I believe that just people listening and listening to the conversations, the people that do call, constitutes a talk show. But some of these old evergreens, gun control, yes or no? Oh, boy, you get a lot of calls. Abortion, yes or no? Ooh. End of life issues, yes or no? Boom, 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 boom. And I hate doing the topic, but this one I just felt, maybe since I'm part of the baby boom generation and the war baby generation, both of those generations are approaching the actuarial or statistical last few laps around the track. And if there's one thing baby boomers insist on is that they can control everything. They can control their environment. They can control their pain level. They can control the brain waves of their children. And by God, they're going to be able to control their deaths. Now, I think a lot of the baby boomers would like to come up with a shot that they get every year that avoids death, unless it's a car crash. But ain't no such shot, is there? So anyway, it was just something that... should be discussed. Now, let's put the brakes on and do a quick 180, and thanks to Shelby Lepre, who is the owner and webmistress of radiopower.org, where you can listen to this program. A lot of you do. Shelby sent this in. Huh. You remember when David Guest and Liza Minnelli got married? Huh? You don't? Well, where in the hell were you? Producer David Guest sued Liza Minnelli for $10 million today, accusing his estranged wife of alcohol-fueled violence that caused neurological damage and headaches. Guest alleges in court papers that Liza Minnelli flew into drunken rages on several occasions on both sides of the Atlantic, insulting and striking him. A spokesman for the singer said Minnelli had not seen the lawsuit, would not comment. Minnelli and Mr. Guest separated in July, just 16 months after their wed at a celebrity-studded ceremony that featured best man Michael Jackson carrying the bride's train. Elizabeth Taylor served as maid of honor. In papers filed in Manhattan Supreme Court, Guest alleges... Is it Guest or Jest? Who cares? Guest alleges that Minnelli began battering him before the wedding. Guest lawyer... Raul Felder, of course, said his client suffered neurological damage and headaches from the alleged attacks and is staying at a rehab clinic in Honolulu. In one incident last June in London, court papers allege Liza Minnelli consumed a bottle of vodka before she threw a lamp at Guest in their hotel suite. She later, quote, began beating Guest about the head and face with her fists, the lawsuit said. When Guest asked a security guard to intervene, court papers say Liza Minnelli punched him in the stomach. When the couple married in March 2002, attendees said Minnelli danced in happiness at the altar. Hundreds of fans lined Fifth Avenue to watch guests, including actors Michael Douglas, Anthony Hopkins, and David Hasselhoff. Elton John was there, and TV news personality Barbara Walters. They all arrived in limousines. The wedding marked a personal comeback for Liza Minnelli, the daughter of Judy Garland and director Vincente Minnelli. She has won an Academy Award, an Emmy, 2 Golden Globes, and 3 Tony Awards. Also battled substance abuse, weight gain, and near-fatal bout with encephalitis. Thanks, Shelby.
Well, back to the real world, right? What's all this talk about, you know, end-of-life issues, blah, 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 blah. And here's King David to bring us back, too. Hey, David.
Hello.
Our Woodstock Nation Bureau Chief.
Yes.
Yeah, what's up, dude?
Well, to continue with...
No!
General... No, not with a subject.
Oh, okay.
But with a general tone.
Okay. Go right ahead. You have a Limbaugh update?
Well, actually, that I'll get to. Not so much a Limbaugh update,
but, okay. You
know, there's something that ties in with the first. I have a personal update.
Okay, let her rip.
Unfortunately, it looks as if it is possible that within a week and a half, both my father and myself are going to be homeless.
Oh, you're going to be homeless?
Hello. Yeah.
Well, but why? You're both educated. You're a writer. I don't know what your dad does, but why are you going to be homeless?
He's disabled, and he owes. He's been in the hospital for most of the last 5 months.
Oh my God!
And he hasn't been able to keep up his tax payments to the state of Wisconsin.
And
they have put a lien on the bank account on which he received his pension.
Isn't there some sort of Wisconsin state law that protects your father while he's incapacitated in a hospital?
apparently not. I haven't been able to find anything, and I've been having a nice little time trying to deal with the person who's authorized this little lien.
Life's a bitch, isn't it, David?
Yeah, man.
Man.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
well, what's the plan?
Okay. Well, at this point, there's still a week and a half to try to fend this off, but still, at this point. He is at home, but is still relatively ill. Hello?
Yeah.
Okay. And I am somewhat disabled because of my back condition.
Well, did you have a website where maybe people can get in touch with you and come up with some suggestions?
I do have my blog up.
Yeah?
Which is at Ultima Jock.
That's ultima, ultimajock.blogspot.com. Okay.
And so there that is. And at about the same time that I got this news this afternoon,
yeah,
I also was, I finally got around to reading the Newsweek from last week.
Right. You read the Limbaugh story?
Both the Limbaugh story and the two sidebars, one of which being Eric Alterman's little column about media related mm-hmm. angle to it,
mm-hmm.
and it brought up, of course, the fact that there has been discussion about having Al Franken
mm-hmm.
do a talk show to kind of counterbalance, which. Now, am I correct? That actually is the proposal for Anshel Media to do for Franken, or is that a possibly a different?
No, I'm not an expert on this, but my reading of the press, where all this has been reported, and God knows it's even reported this month in Harper's Magazine, mm-hmm. That Anshel has spoken with Franken. I frankly think he's certainly a good writer vis-a-vis his last book.
But he would probably need quite a bit of training to get up to the level where.
Well, I think what the plan is for Anshel would be to pair, this is what I've heard, to pair a star, a wit like, who are we talking about? We're talking about Al Franken, to pair him with an experienced talk show host. And probably somebody of the opposite gender, and that would be very entertaining. I don't know. Having been in this business as long as I have, I can tell you right now, I've heard highly trained people, trained in a different field, or not trained at all, say, talk radio, hell, I can do that. All you do is get on the air and talk for 3 hours.
Right. And as you know, that's not the way it is. So whether or not Al Franken would succeed as a talk show host is debatable. Would he succeed as a radio personality? Oh, absolutely, no question about it. But in order to, you know, a comedian like Al Franken is not going to go on the air every day and do 3 hours of shtick. You can't. That's 15 hours a week. That's impossible.
That's right.
Bob Hope couldn't do that, and he had 30 writers. You can't do that. So I'm not sure how Franken figures into the Anshel mix or any. Hell, I've heard talk that he might wind up with a TV show on Al Gore's. Al Gore and his backers are thinking of buying this.
News World International.
Yeah, this television network. But anybody who thinks that they can, that doing talk radio is just a matter of sitting down for 3 hours a day, this is an 8, sometimes 10 hour a day job. It is vicious. It is exhausting. It is emotionally disturbing. And you usually wind up.
You've noticed that too.
Yeah, you usually wind up a gibbering maniac. So, I wish Al Franken the best. I hope he succeeds. I hope Anshel succeeds. I hope IE America succeeds. I hope Al Gore succeeds. I hope everybody succeeds. Seeds.
Yeah.
But when I see the talk about Al Franken going to be a talk show host, I kind of go, yeah, okay, well, he's a great writer. I love his books. Great comedy. Let's see him do 15 hours a week of talk radio.
The point that I had in relation to that was, now, this kind of struck me almost like Orson Welles' first scene in Citizen Kane.
We're running out of time, but go ahead.
I realize. Where essentially we're talking about somebody who is working.
Yeah.
And, you know, who was not in danger of losing a lot of money at this point.
Right.
Talking in support of the underprivileged. Why not take somebody from the underprivileged and have them speak for the underprivileged?
Maybe you have a name in mind.
Perhaps, hey, Mr. Drobny, I am available, especially right. Within the next week and a half.
Well, I would imagine he probably listens to the program occasionally, so you never know, David. But don't forget, I'm not trying to be cute here with you. It's always darkest right before dawn. I've been through that similar, not your situation, but situations that look like, oh, Jesus, time to suck a gas pipe. But I keep the faith. I'm not trying to be trite and give you little platitudes.
I know.
But you, what's the alternative? Hey, yeah. David, got a boogie.
Try to get out of the nine alive. That's all there is.
Stay in touch.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Bye.
Take care.
Oh, hon, this cold.
Here, take NyQuil. Oh. You'll sleep like
okay up there.
You'll sleep like
need more tissues.
Sleep like
cover your mouth.
Like you did before your mother moved in.
Oh, so you'll wear that red nightie?
I heard that.
Give me that.
NyQuil. The nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stubby head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold. Medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved liquid caps.
Look, anything related to my physical well-being, I get a second opinion. And that includes the laxative I use. So when I asked my doctor which one he recommended, he didn't hesitate. Colace Stool Softener Capsules. Then I asked my neighborhood pharmacist. She said the same thing. Colace Capsules. Now that's two people who I believe know what they're talking about, recommending one laxative. Colace Capsules.
For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors and pharmacists, go to colacecapsules.com.
If your hacking just won't stop, simply cough. If you're honking like a duck, simply cough. If the rest of you feel fine, but you're coughing all the time, and it's waking up your sister, simply cough.
Simply cough. From the makers of Children's Tylenol, it has only the medicine your child needs to make a cough simply disappear.
If your throat is all a tickle and you're really in a pickle, then you're hacking off a packing, simply cough.
Simply cough. Use as directed.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly. And if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
Did you pick up your phone book the other day and almost get a hernia because of all the lawyer ads? Do you panic when you turn on the television and there is another lawyer encouraging you to call him 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to find out who you can sue and what your rights are? Well, you don't need that anymore. But you know, you don't get your surgeon out of the yellow pages, and you don't need a retainer fee to listen to me. The Legal Huddle is your one-stop radio shop for everything you would ever want to know about the American legal system. I'm Ed Zelenak. I've been a prosecutor, band leader, foreign diplomat, and advisor to presidential candidates. And as your host of the Legal Huddle, I'm uniquely qualified to answer everything you ever wanted to know about the law but were afraid to ask. And you know, if I don't know the answer, I'll make one up. You can call me with your questions, your comments, your opinions, and your feelings about our judiciary. And you know something? I will never hold you in contempt of court in the Legal Huddle. So join me and a cast of thousands here in the Legal Huddle, Sunday mornings, 9 until 11, on the IE America Radio Network. This is Ed Zelenak, and I'm a lawyer. That's my 12-step program. And if you break out in a rash at the mere suggestion of talking to a lawyer, then you need to join in the Legal Huddle, where I'll be your Sunday morning quarterback as we make a 100-yard dash through the American legal system, where myths will be demystified and red tape will be shredded. Join me for mirth, merriment, and a little bit of contempt of court, Sundays, 9 to 11, on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Finally, the majority has a voice in talk radio. Here's Mike Malloy.
I swear to God, Kathy, I'm going to open a vein if we can't get those promos changed. That Laura Pickles Bush thing. It was really funny, and I celebrate your creativity. I know it's not your decision to make, but Jesus, it's really funny. The first 723 times we have all listened to, how many are there? Three of them? You want to open your mic and say anything?
I have some new ones that I'm working on, and I'm sure that once they're completed, you'll grow as tired of them by the end of this month as you are of the others.
They just make me want to rip my eyes out or something. Just shove a pen into my thigh here. I'm so sick of those promos. I can't. They were great. Like I said, they're really good. They're really creative. They're really funny. And
I'd like you to write some.
Well, I'll be happy to do that. I mean, can't we dig anything out? Can't we just put on something that says, hi, listen to Mike Malloy's show every day, midnight till or whatever the hell time we're on. Do you understand what I'm saying? They are driving me nuts.
I feel your pain.
Now, see, the funny part is there are about 10,000 people out there who'd like to say that. But they're too courteous, you know. I do have to say that people who listen on radios don't hear them as often. It's only the internet group that hears them over and over and over and over again. But I just had to say that because I know there are a lot of people listening who just go, oh, Jesus, not that again.
We could bring back the Happison commercials.
The Happison?
You need Happison.
No, are those the only two choices?
Possibly.
Yeah, all right. Joe, our Brookings, Oregon Bureau Chief is checking in. You got about a minute, dude.
I got 1 minute left?
That's about it, Joe. I'm sorry. We just...
That's okay, though. I'll just say this. You know what I heard about David Guest, Liza Minnelli's ex-husband?
No, what?
I heard he was gay.
Well, good for him. Oh, well, that's it? Our bureau chief is gone. Okay, well. See, Joe thinks that's a news flash, right? Joe... The rest of the entertainment world has known that for a long time. That's why it was kind of a funny marriage. Ah, program engineered in Detroit tonight by Jay Balicki. Produced here in Atlanta by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman announces for us. Thanks to Mark Marshall, MaximumInteractive.com for our website and our moderators there. Check it out. Go check it out. You'll love it. Jim in Arkansas, our music bureau chief, thank you. I'll see you tomorrow night, I hope. I really, really hope. I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not. Take care.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
Is on the front in Playboy. I think what you have done is give a little more license to people who have a few more years on them.
Probably. A few more years
I'm talking about now.
Like the tread on a tire.
Yeah, never mind. I can't make it better.
Just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber, you go and do something like this.
On the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.